This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Nah, 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 not Frank Morano this morning. He's maxing and relaxing, smoking cigars, drinking dry martinis, if you know Frank Morano, and letting his wife, Rachel, do all the heavy lifting in the aftermath of the successful birth of their son, Carmine. They say 6.5 stones. I say close to 13 pounds. Big boy, big boy. They're at home. They're doing well. And Frank Morano is doing what Buttigieg did, milk the hell out of paternity leave. We may not see him back here for a month of Sundays doing The Other Side of Midnight. Because, let's face it, we never had paternity leave when I was growing up. It would have been unheard of for the man to stay at home when the child was born. No, you had other female members of the family or midwives or female family members of the in-laws who would come over and rotate and take turns taking care of the child. Now, all of a sudden, they come up with this idea that guys know what to do with babies. Get out of here. I've had three. I know. In each case, the mother said, get the hell out of here. You're causing me agita. You're causing me grief. It's the kind of grief we're going to be talking about later on when we talk about Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo out in the compound in the Hamptons. And now permanently ensconced with him as they hit the mattresses and stir the marinara sauce because it appears the whole world is against them as Fredo joins him on a regular basis. He's been fired by CNN, and I'm going to make a recommendation. Because I've beaten up the Cuomos more than anybody else. I mean in good times and bad times for the Cuomos. When Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo was on the cusp of being nominated potentially as the Democratic nominee instead of Joe Biden. Brandon, right? Brandon, whatever the hell they call him now, so they don't have to use the FU term. Remember, he was godlike. There was idolatry. He was on the pedestal. And other times when Preet Bharara had him on the ropes, because he had disbanded the Moreland Commission, he should have been indicted. I've been on his jockstrap morning, noon, and night. Hey, Andrew, ascendeme, tu si provienos facin. And like your father, Mario, you are. And Alfredo is in that comment. Well, we're going to talk about it later on. We're going to talk about it later on. And I don't want to get upset. One of the few times when my Kumbaricic, Rudy Giuliani, so upset me. I will never forget, I was on Avenue J, going through the Midwood section from Flatbush to Midwood, and people were telling me, yes, yes, Rudy, he's up on the flatbed truck. Rudy's up on the flatbed truck. I said, what are you talking about? He's not in this part of Brooklyn today. He is. And on that flatbed truck is Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo, the governor of the state of New York, and his campaign manager, Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo. And Noah Deer, who was the city council person there for Borough Park. And there were Bruce Teitelbaum, who was in charge of Jewish relationships for the Giuliani administration. And they did the unthinkable. Rudy Giuliani endorsed for re-election, would have made a fourth term, more misery, another 4 years of misery. The re-election of Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo and stuck the shift in George Pataki. And I dug in and I said, I'm crossing swords here. Rudy, you can't get away with this. And I and everyone else and all the Republicans in Graves upstate who hadn't voted in more than 100 years came to the forefront. And unexpectedly, George Pataki, who nobody knew, by the way, Zippy the chimp could have done better. It didn't matter. People were tired. Tired of Mario. I'm tired of Mario. And they shuttled him out. George Pataki was elected. We got 12 great years of a Republican governor. And Michael Buttigieg, Rudy Giuliani had to lick his wounds. Oh, yeah, those were bitter times. Always bitter times. But we've had that up and down kind of relationship all those years when I was out there campaigning for Rudy Giuliani to become mayor against candidate David Dinkins, who had beaten Ed Koch, Mayor Ed Koch, in the Democratic primary. He won against Rudy, just barely. And then 4 years later, side by side with Rudy and young little Andrew. Andrew remembers that. He actually has recited it on the radio, how I would be out there constantly warming up the crowd for Rudy Giuliani. Because before that, had some problems. he had the comedian extraordinaire. Some of you know who that was, who would come out and warm up the crowd. He could do a little Italian, mostly Yiddish. And he got into a little bit of double trouble. If you happen to know which comedian I'm talking about, please give us a call. And you can win a Curtis Sliwa booby prize. Don't ask, don't tell. We're so cheap here. At least I am. I throw nickels around like manhole covers. You may get some of my belly button lint, but at least you'll hear yourself give the name of the comedian who initially warmed up the crowds when Rudy was first running for mayor of the city of New York against David Dinkins. Hopefully you get that right. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. But it was a glory hallelujah day. I saw that Andrew Giuliani was campaigning vigorously for the Republican nomination to take on the Democratic survivor of that Democratic campaign. Was out there on Fifth Avenue giving out Cohiba cigars, the illegal Cuban cigars, not the Monte Cristos from the DR, not even the crooked Italian cigars that Frank Morano has been giving out there on Staten Italy, but actually Cohiba cigars, because he's so proud, he's busting his buttons and bridges with pride. And any of you who are fathers, you know it doesn't get any better than that, because it's all downhill after that. 1-800-848-9222. Let's give a little advice, fatherly advice, to both new fathers, Frank Morano and Andrew Giuliani. 1-800-848-WABC. Listen to the excitement. Listen to the euphoria. Listen to the passing of one generation of Giulianis to the new generation of Giulianis.
Hey, Dad, this is your son, Andrew, and I wanted to give you a call just to congratulate you on becoming a grandfather yesterday.
That is fabulous. That's fabulous.
Little Grace Yuzefa Giuliani was born yesterday, 6 pounds, 8 ounces. And I have to tell you, after holding her, it feels like life started yesterday. Because
of course it does. It was like when I held you and Caroline.
There's no greater feeling in the world. So I know that on a daily basis, you know, we go out there and try to solve public policy issues, political issues, you know, yourself included, obviously, for the past 50-plus years, 60-plus years. But today's a day of celebration for you.
Well, now you know one of the reasons you're doing it. So that so she will have as good and a better future than you had. That's your job. That's your job and Z's job. And, you know, he's acting like he did it all by himself. Tell him about your wife.
Well, she's the tough one.
She's a beauty.
I was just there holding her hand right there. She did all the work. Not even 99% of it. She did 100%.
And you did all the complaining.
I was just a cheerleader over there. But yeah, that's exactly right. Well, who do you think I learned that from? So
come on. Of course, I did the same thing. Well, I am so proud. I'm so proud of you and Z, who's just like my daughter. And now my first grandchild. Wow, Grace.
Well, she sends to send her love, and looking at little Grace, I know that she can't wait to give you a big wet kiss.
Well, I'll be there shortly with a bunch of cigars, but we can't smoke them in the hospital.
We'll smoke them later this week.
I'll bring some Winston Churchill type cigars, because she was born a day before Winston Churchill's birthday.
Pretty good company, I'd say.
You're
right
darn
there.
Right.
And what you said before is absolutely right. When you look at her right there, if you don't have more conviction of courage, then you don't have a heart.
Of course, you got it for her. I mean, look at the world she's in. We got to fix it for her, right?
Well, that's exactly right. Well, Grandpa, Pop, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be better than what Democrats call me.
Well, I think she's very much like you because she's already today. She's been talking all day. She's been talking all day.
Sounds like she's
She's got conviction. She's a little bit stubborn. I can tell right there. So I
noticed for some reason when I saw her room the other night, there was a lot of elephants in her room.
Well,
somebody's trying to brainwash her.
I think we're just trying to make sure that we tell her a true, honest account of American history and of politics.
All right. Well, God bless.
Glory, Holiosky. Hallelujah. Two births all within the same week. Sagittarians being delivered into this world by Frank Morano and his wife, Rachel. And by Andrew Giuliani giving the good news to Rudy earlier today on his show about the birth of his daughter, Zephyr. Zephyr? Who did he and his wife name her after? Zephyr Teachout, the progressive DSA super liberal who tried to take on Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo. Remember that? In a Democratic primary, he took umbrage to that. Nobody could dare challenge me. And now she's in the race on the Democratic side of the primary to try to become the next attorney general to replace Tish James over my dead body. Oh, my God. Zephyr Teachout. I got to talk to Andrew. You named your daughter after Zephyr Teachout? You can't get any more liberal, any more progressive. Forget it. You don't need prisons with a Zephyr Teachout. You don't need prosecutions. You don't need police. I can't believe it that Andrew and his wife named their daughter after Zephyr Teachout. You see, this would be a form of rebellion against your father. You know how kids get rebellious. Hey, I'll fix it with you, Dad. You know, you who are all the way on the right, lock them up, throw away the key. You locked up the five heads of organized crime, Italian organized crime. I'm going to name my daughter, your granddaughter, after the liberal progressive DSA supporter, Zephyr Teachout, who, imagine, wants to become the Attorney General of New York State. Ah! 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Dino. He's calling from the Bronx. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Dino?
Yeah, how you doing, Curtis? I have an answer to your comedian.
Hey, go ahead. Go ahead with the answer.
I'm going with Jackie Mason.
Ah, you're going with Jackie Mason. That was very good. But you know why you lost the Curtis Lee with Booby Prize? What did you do when you first got on the phone and you spoke to me? Think about what you did. You asked me how am I doing, right?
I just said, how you doing, Curtis?
Yeah. Don't you know the rules of engagement? I realize that so many of you...
I guess it's a habit.
Of course it's a habit. And we're going to talk about habits later on. Dope fiends injecting themselves in these injection centers. But anyway, Dino, because...
LeBron was trying to burn the place down on the way out.
He's like Michael Corleone trying to settle all scores.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
On his way out, 4 weeks to go, but Dino?
Yeah, exactly. On the way out, he's going to try to burn down the whole city.
But think about it. Dino, you had the Curtis Lee with Booby Prize in your hands, and because you violated the three commandments.
What can I tell you?
I understand. Three commandments for talk radio listeners. It's very simple. Don't ask me, Dino, or any of the rest of you. How you doing? Yeah, talk to yourself there in the mirror, guy. Don't ask me how you're doing, because I'm just going to say, I've had better days. Hey, how's the wife? How's the kids? We can waste 5 minutes of time, right? Or, you know, some of you, first-time caller, long-time listener. Oh, God, what a hackneyed expression. And there's one other out there. I'm not going to tip you off right now, because I know one of you gavones are going to step. You're going to put your foot right in your mouth, and you're going to lose your opportunity to win a Curtis Lee with Booby Prize. Anyway, let's go to Pete. In Staten Island, your turn to be heard here at WABC, Pete.
I know the rules. Hey, Curtis, how you doing? Okay, I wanted to say to you, I was going to say Jackie Mason, but I also was going to say the guy that plays Kramer, because he was helping with the election, I remember. Am I right about that or not?
The hell are you talking about? We already got the answer. We already got the answer, Jackie Mason. You copied. You didn't know it. No. You just listened to Dino in the Bronx, and you had a good cauliflower ear, so you just Xerox copied it. Come on, don't lie, Pete. You had no idea who I was talking about.
Well, speaking of cauliflower ears, I'm looking forward to your when your hand heals up, your bout against Frankie Russo.
You can forget about that. Forget about that, Pete. You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to become extraordinarily generous. I don't normally offer this because in the tradition of the Roman Catholic faith, and remember, I am a AMP Catholic. Cash is on Wednesday, palms on Sunday. Then you don't see me for a month of Sundays. I am going to offer to Frank Morano and Rachel and also Andrew Giuliani, who just brought the daughter Zephyr. Please don't do that to the kid. That's like walking around with a scarlet letter. You come from a Republican conservative family, and you name your daughter Zephyr, whatever it is. How could you do that? That's cruelty. I would call child welfare. I would call DIFAS in New Jersey and report you for cruelty to that newborn baby. Zephyr, whatever it is. I'm going to make this offer that I would be more than happy to stand there. Right in Mount Laredo, the church, near Tottenville, the south end of Staten Island, it is famous as the scene in The Godfather. Remember where the baptism was taking place? The baptism? And Michael Corleone told everyone there, we settled all scores. Remember that? Mount Laredo, that was the church. I will be the Godfather for a 13-pound carmine, because I'm probably the only one that's strong enough to pick him up so that we can put the... What is that, oil and vinegar you put over the kid's head, you know, after you put the sign of the cross on it? I think it's oil and vinegar. You know, nowadays especially, people don't want to eat red meat. They don't want to eat venison. They don't want to eat chicken, fowl. So, you know, everything is salad. So the priest comes out, and, you know, some of them are booze hounds. They do the Jake Lake. So it can't be wine. So it's probably got to be oil and vinegar. You put it on the kid's forehead, and I'll be the godfather. For Frank's kid, Carmine... Well, let me think about it for Zephyr. What was going on in Andrew's mind? I understand he's running around all 62 counties here in New York State trying to get the Republican nomination. He's actually ahead of the polls of Congressman Zeldin from Suffolk County and former Westchester County Executive Astorino. But my God. I hope he's not going to advertise that out there to Republican conservatives, because right away they're going to say, do you name her after Zephyr Teachout? Zephyr, whatever. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. And when we come back, the dilemma that I have as father of three sons, but it's the oldest son who's really giving me super agita at the age of 17. Remember, he gets a driver's permit, and now he wants a new car. New car, really, kid? You want a new car, huh? Well, I would have told him years ago in Canarsie, East New York, why don't you go Hotwire One? You know, go to a chop shop. You know, they'll put a paint job on it. They'll change the VIN numbers. You know, they'll give you some new plates that were just made up in Elmira. You know, came right off the inmate press. That's what I would have done. But you see, no. His mother would never allow that. And his stepfather... Governor David Patterson, oh, he'd be all bent out of shape. What the hell? He wouldn't be able to see that, right? Don't worry. Don't worry about Governor David Patterson. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Oh, I hate this song. Kill it. Kill it, man. Please. That doesn't get me into the Christmas mood. I'm in a foul mood because I'm dealing with Frank Morano callers. Like Bob from Long Beach. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Bobby.
Yes, Curtis.
You see what I mean?
What I wanted to say is I could even tell you what Jackie Mason got fired for from the campaign.
Ah. No, so now maybe you're going to lift the curve here, the Frank Morano listeners and callers. This is good, Bob. What did he get fired from the Rudy Giuliani for mayor campaign for that caused him to be on the outside looking in and me then warming up the crowds?
He called David Dinkins a washroom attendant.
You couldn't be more hopelessly wrong. He is. He is special, Ed. That was the King of Talk Radio, Bob Grant, who referred to then-Mayor David Dinkins as a washroom attendant. That was not what Jackie Mason called David Dinkins. Little hint for all of you cognoscente out there. See, I got to lead them to the promised land. Because Frank Morano, they're so used to just hearing him spout out, talk about, you know, UFOs, gray little people, aliens, Roswell, you know, and I get it. We're going to get into all of that. Maybe not this week, but that Goldbrick, that slacker, that ne'er-do-well Frank Morano who is milking the system on paternity leave, doing a booty-shay. He'll probably be out here till 2023. And by then, Carmine will be 185 pounds and playing like right tackle, you know, in kindergarten. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. If you happen to actually know what Jackie Mason, who just actually passed away, unfortunately, I did sit shiver for him. I did have my chullin. That's right, all 8 days of shiver. It's just like Hanukkah's 8 days. What is it? Everything is eight? You know, everything is eight in the Jewish religion. 8 days of shiver with the Hamantashen. 8 days of Hanukkah where my two youngest sons who are Jewish are like just extorting presents from me. Oh, Daddy, you got to give us one present each day. Hey, there's two of you. That means two times eight. Let me see. I'm not too good at math. What, 16 presents? And then you want presents for Christmas too? When you suddenly determine, oh, but I'm a Gentile also. What a racket. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Drew in White Plains. Your turn to be heard here on WABC, Drew.
So, a couple things. First thing for Andrew, the biggest advice I would give him is...
Hey, Drew, do me a solid, right? You're like talking in some kind of tunnel as if you're in the Holland Tunnel. You think you could talk into the freaking phone?
Okay, I'm sorry. All right.
Yeah, you'll try, right? I know. I know. It's difficult. Your hand, it's on the phone. You put your mouth right there on the bottom of the phone, and you talk.
All right. I said my first advice to Andrew would be prepared to get no sleep. Take sleep out of your vocabulary. And your wife is always right, even when she's dead wrong. And as far as with teach out, man... Could you imagine teach out in a James at the top of the, you know, who are running the state of New York? I mean, that might block out anything that Adams wants to do. And it's so funny because I always say New York is so important. Everybody talks about these battleground states for 2022 concerning Trump. And I said, well, one of his big watches should be New York. Reason being, I said, if certain people get into office, you know, they might just try to throw any type of charges on him just to try to prevent him from running or hamper him from running. And, you know, a lot of that can lead back to right here in his home state of
now,
New York.
Let me ask you a question, Drew. You started out so slow, and now you're so cogent. Did your wife just have a baby? Did your gumata just have a baby? Are you making a run for Ben and Jerry's ice cream with sour garlic pickles?
No. I had two kids already, so trust me, I know the newborn stage.
Good. So guess what? It's vasectomy time, pal. Vasectomy time. Oh, what, are you going to overpopulate the world? And then we got to pay taxes so that you get tax credits for all these kids, too? You decided to have the kids, and then all of a sudden, hey, I get a rebate for having kids. I never heard of anything like this. Tax credits for kids? By the way, I don't know Andrew Giuliani's wife. I think she's from either Lithuania. I think Lithuania. I stand to be corrected. but I believe it's Lithuania, right near the Polish border, I think. I wonder what Andrew Giuliani at 3 o'clock in the morning is going to have to be running out for at the local 7-Eleven. Because, you know, nowadays, New York City is dead. Anybody who's going to tell you, oh, we're back, happy days are here again, walk in the streets at 3 o'clock in the morning, try to find a freaking deli, even a bodega open. It's dead. Roll up the streets and sidewalks. So all of a sudden, Andrew Giuliani's wife, who I think is Lithuanian, gets the Jones. What is that? She going to want lutefisk? Where the hell are you going to find lutefisk? Or fiskables? Is that what Lithuanians eat? I don't know. You know, it's near the Baltic. It's probably, they all eat there up there. Lutefisk and fiskables. What is Andrew? What is Andrew Giuliani going to do? And you better come back with the lutefisk and fiskables. And then, of course, there's Frank Morano out there. He'd go to Top Tomato, you know, his Gambino crime family friends. And by the way, they're closed at night. So Frank will be making the tour. And you see, with Frank Morano, he'd make the tour. And they got some spots opened up there, especially on the North Shore. You just got to duck bullets when you go in. So he'll come out with the order for Rachel. I don't know what she'd want. You know what happens when a wife has just delivered a baby. You know, they still, they end up getting very hungry, even in their pregnancy and post-pregnancy. I wonder what, see, Frank Morano would end up eating all the food before it even got to his wife, Rachel. He'd smoke a cigar, he'd get lost. The guy has absolutely no GPS in his head. I can tell you, having been out in New Jersey, when we worked at AM 970 The Answer at Hasbrook Heights, a placebo city. I never saw anybody walking in the streets of Hasbrook Heights. I'd walk up the hill. I got to catch the bus to the Port Authority in New York. It's on the boulevard. What boulevard? The boulevard. Isn't there a name of the boulevard? It's just the boulevard. And so one time, Frank Morano, he picked me up in Secaucus because we were doing the morning show right there in the placebo city. Potamkin City, called Hasbrook Heights, right next to Hackensack. And he's going round and round and round, and I'm calling him up. I said, Frank, you've been driving for like 3 hours. I can't find the train station at Secaucus. I said, it's named after you, schmuck. First name. What's the last name? And he's like, Lautenberg, one of the worst U.S. senators of all time. He still couldn't find it. I had to end up taking a cab to AM 970 Yens. 3 hours driving round and round. Curtis, like, I can't find it. Now, you know, this is before he met Rachel, so I don't know, you know, what he was pleasurizing himself with at that time. But he was lost. A little inside information here. Let's go to Al. He's calling from Manhattan. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Al.
Hey, what's going on, Curtis? You shouldn't have taken that cab. You should have just waited for Frank.
I'd still be waiting. He doesn't know how to get to the Frank Lautenberg station in Secaucus. Trust me, even to this day.
Could be. Listen, you said with Jackie Mason, right?
Yeah, what did he say? Let's get right to it. Well,
Before that, he got fired once on the Ed Sullivan Show. Do you know why he got fired on the Ed Sullivan Show?
Oh, well, educate me to that. You know, because I just remember watching Topo Gigio, the little Italian Miles.
That's right.
With Ed Sullivan. My grandfather, Fidella Bianchino and Nicoletta Bianchino, they get all excited. Oh, it's Topo Gigio, the little Italian mouse. Now, imagine with my 17 rescue cats, that would be it for Topo Gigio.
That's a real circus going on.
But go ahead, Al.
He gave him the finger. Accidentally, he said. And I think many, many years later, he did let him come back. But that was basically it. He gave him the finger, you know.
Did I ask about the Ed Sullivan Show? What is that? Colbert is there now on the stage, right? I asked, why did Jackie Mason get fired by Rudy Giuliani's campaign? What did he say in the campaign? But see, typical of Frank Morano, you know, listeners and callers, they won't answer the issue directly. You know, they're scratching their belly, you know, while they're eating their Frito-Lays. Man, this really special head. Unbelievable. Let's go to Mark in the Bronx. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Mark.
Yes, Curtis. I believe Mason called Dinkins a fancy schwarzer, a Jewish term, fancy schwarzer. I think it was. I think he said with a mustache or a suit. But yeah, I mean, yeah.
Not toupee. Hey, one thing about David Dinkins, he was extraordinarily dapper. GQ down. I remember sometimes he would have a change of apparel 2-3 times a day. And his man Friday, the guy he really depended on, I knew him, Arnie Segarra, Puerto Rican guy, street guy. I mean, he knew where all the bones were buried. And one time, David Dinkins, this is when he was my friend. We weren't friends that long, but he was my friend. He was mayor. And I challenged Arnie Segarra to basketball. Hey, Puerto Ricans, what? They don't know how to play basketball. You know, they don't know how to play handball, paddleball. That's the national sport of Puerto Ricans. Basketball? So David Dinkins took my challenge, and we played on the Garden, Madison Square Garden, in the afternoon. And it was a huge crowd. And here's Arnie Segarra, who smoked like 5 packs, you know, of Marlboro Reds. Like, he's huffing and puffing, but I see, man, he's banging him from the corners. I said, oh, this guy knows how to play ball. So I got to get him in the paint and stick my elbow in his chest because he's going to have cardiac arrest. The guy can barely breathe. So he didn't come in the paint. He was smart. He just stayed on the outside like Jerry Lucas. Any of you old-timers know Jerry Lucas. He could shoot the basket out from like 30 feet out, and he memorized cards. You see, memorized cards. That's right. What college did Jerry Lucas go to? 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. But see, I disconnected myself. So we're on the hardwood at Madison Square Garden, and I'm shooting 35, 40 feet out. Typical white boy. You know, I'm just like, wow. And everybody's, wow. And it's tied 20-20. It's a game of 21. So who was the referee at that time? Consumer Affairs Chief Mark Green, who wanted to be senator, he wanted to be congressman, he wanted to be mayor. This guy ran for everything. But he was Consumer Affairs Chief. Dinkins calls a timeout, and he says to Mark Green, look, you either start calling fouls on Curtis and allow Arnie to win, or don't bother coming back to City Hall. He tells this in front of a whole crowd. So I take a shot from about 55 feet out that rims the basket up against the backboard. And at the time, the New York Knicks, Kiki Vandewey. You remember Kiki? Nah, you wouldn't. You guys weren't even born. Anyway, this guy was a great shooter. He's standing there. What? Oh, my God. He almost netted that ball. And then Mark Green was just foul, foul, foul. Come on, man. You guys are cheating. But then again, didn't they cheat Rudy out of becoming mayor that first time? Yeah, that's right. That's what I reminded them. Oh, they got all upset. Any of you ever saw Arnie Segarra out there? Street guy. Man, this guy was street. But he was the man Friday for David Dinkins, who sometimes would change into GQ suits 3 times a day and take 2 showers. I mean, we're talking he was clean. How did I digress so much? 1-800-848-9222. You see what these Frank Morano listeners make me do? Digress. 1-800-848-WABC.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
This better be good. This better be good. I'm not a dreamer. I'm a citizen. I can prove it. I got the papers.
Just like the
with global warming, climate change, it's no more snow. So you're paying. You're torturing us. There's no more freaking snow. Enough of this, please. Thinking to myself, yeah, we used to play that song all the time, snow. Did you notice earlier today it snowed ever so briefly? It like teased us. I was ready to go out and make Frosty the Snowman, right? A few spritzes of snow. Gone. That's what AOC, all-out crazy, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Democratic Socialists of America, the Justice Warriors, are warning us about. No more snow for you. There's a lot of cocaine in the world. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of that snow drops out of the skies in those duffel bags from Medellin and Cali, the Cali cartel. Let's go to George calling from Borough Park. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Georgie.
I have some advice for you on your son and the car.
Hey, what are you smoking, Virginia Slims?
No. You got me laughing so hard when you did that Life Change Teeth commercial that I was coughing.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you for the compliment. That's what I'm known for, my live reads, my commercials. But go ahead, George.
The cost of car insurance is going to be through the roof for a 17-year-old.
Yeah, and also, remember, a muscle car, too. He wants either a Dodge Charger, new, all tricked out, too. That's like what? That's like close to
$50,000?
Yeah.
You know what? The car, he's 17 years old. The car insurance premium will be at least $4,000 or $5,000.
Well, you know what I'm going to tell him to do? Go out, get a part-time job with Federal Express or UPS and wear those funny little brown shorts. Why do the UPS guys and gals, why are they wearing shorts? You know, they sort of like remind me of Boy Scout troop leaders. Why do these guys with big bellies and knotty knees wear the Boy Scout troop leader shorts? Nah, you don't look good in those Daisy Dukes or those shorty shorts.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Oh, it's going to get a lot stranger as we work our way to the 5 o'clock hour and then I pass over the 50,000 powerful watts of sound. They can be heard in 38 states, parts of Canada, and right in the Bermuda Triangle, many a seaman has gone down to Davy Jones's locker in a ship while listening to WABC. And Frank Morano was probably the cause of it, doing the show. But it is the most powerful news talk station in the nation. And people can hear this all over the place. And plus, they can hear it on the stream, right? You go to WABCradio.com. But you see, I'm not good enough. I don't get to be on the TV like Lenz Lies, like Dominic Carter was, like Rita Cosby was before me. They turned the TV off. I mean, that's what I live for, man. My media fix. People have called me a media maven. There were people who said he only ran for mayor for all the publicity. It was a publicity stunt. Oh, I loved all those cameras. I am Lenz Lights. There's no doubt about it. Just aim a camera at me and I'll give you a cameo appearance. So this is what they do, man. They pull tricknology on me here. I step in, Dominic Carter gives me salutations and greeting. I look at the big screen. It's a dual cast. You see Dominic on one side, me on the other side. I'm feeling good. And the moment Dominic exits stage left to Ramapo out there in Rockland County with the bees, the curves, and the beavers. You know, that's like Leave It to Beaverland out there. Father knows best, little house on the prairie. The TV's off. And I guarantee you, Chet said, Juliet walks in, boom, TV on. Bernard McGurk, Sid Rosenberg, you know, with that man tan that he always uses, boom, 4 hours of TV. Me, I get bupkis. I get ugats. But I'm going to charge on. Because the number one Lenz Lice boy in America would be seen every night at 9 p.m. on the Cuomo National Network. CNN. CNN. Nope. He hasn't been fired, but he really has. He really has. It'll say it's fired. I'm going to get into the behind-the-scenes story of why Chris Cuomo, Fredo, is no longer a cast member of CNN, is persona non grata there. I'm going to get back to the nitty-gritty. But first, remember Julian Assange? Remember WikiLeaks? It became like a hemorrhoid to Hillary Rodham Clinton when she was running for president in 2016. Remember every day Julian Assange in that Ecuadorian embassy there in London would do a drop of the emails purloined, like the 10 trillion emails that Hillary said she didn't have, but he somehow got hold of it. And remember, every day we would wait with bated breath, along with the New York Times, Washington Post, Drudge, everybody, ready to print whatever came down the pipe from Julian Assange while he was perpendicular to the floor with his cutie-tootie girlfriend at that time. By the way, you can win a Curtis Sliwa booby prize if you happen to know who Julian Assange was occasionally shacking up with when he had a conjugal visit in the Ecuadorian embassy. Like, who the hell would want to be in the Ecuadorian embassy, right? I mean, come on. The Ecuadorian embassy. But if you had a visitor like her, you might want to stay there in perpetuity. Triple life without parole in the Ecuadorian embassy on Embassy Row in London. Who is that bombshell? 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. So the modern day version of Julian Assange is Tish James, State Attorney General. Now, this has come up for Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, who created Tish James to become the state attorney general. He embraced her. He supported her. She had been created by the Working Families Party. She was not a Democrat. She won her city council seat in Brooklyn as a Working Families Party candidate against all odds. Eventually got the no-show job as public advocate like all the rest of them. Sucked off the taxpayer. And spent all the money to run for higher office. And then all of a sudden, because Schneiderman was like whipping and tossing and turning. And my God, I don't know. Half the time he was a masochist. The other time a sadist. You know, hush, hush, mush, mush behind closed doors. But we had to hear about all the gory details. By the way, Schneiderman used to use mascara. I always used to tell him, hey, pal, what do you got mascara on for? He always treated me like I was nothing lately. I've seen him on the number two train now twice. He now has his civil discourse with me. But once we learned that he was freaky deaky with the lady, his lady friends, that's it. He was on the outside looking in. Up next, Tish James, embraced by Cuomo. She denounced Cynthia Nixon, who herself was supported by the Working Families Party. So to Cuomo, this was the ultimate sign of loyalty. He took her everywhere. He told Democrats from Buffalo to Brooklyn, I want her as my state attorney general because I'm immunized. I am corrupt, but she will have window shades on her eyes, cotton balls in her ears, and a zipper on her mouth. When anybody talks about Cuomo corruption, she will take the Code of Omerta. Ha, 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 ha. You thought. Every day she releases a treasure trove of files and video of the cross-examination that was done by the attorneys that she hired at our expense, the Inquisition against Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, one of whom was the former U.S. attorney, briefly, for the Southern District, who actually was one of the U.S. attorneys prosecuting John Gotti Jr. in federal court downtown Manhattan when I was there for him because the guy tried to have me whacked and skated on technicalities. But the gunman, Michael Leonardi, did 20. I understand he's out and about. Hey, you want to come back and finish the job, Mikey? Maybe you went for target practice. Hit me 5 times. You couldn't take me out with hollow point bullets. You tried to hit me with the 6 shot, right? You tried to hit me right in the head. Didn't work, huh? Come on, Mikey. But anyway, why am I keep digressing? You know, I keep digressing. I hit the point, and then I'm, like, missing it. Well, today we had an opportunity to watch Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo sweated down by the former U.S. attorney for the Southern District. Listen as he talks about a period of time when he kissed. Who knows?
It's your question.
Do you not understand? What is your understanding of the word girlfriend?
My understanding doesn't matter. It's a friend who is a...
With all respect.
It is a friend who is a girl.
That's how you define girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay. How about someone you date, have relations with?
Have relations?
You kiss.
Did I kiss her? Yes. Okay. It was a period of time that I kissed her.
Oh, yeah. You could have said that, right? You could have said that, right? Yes, I kissed her. No, he goes all over the planet. Oh, I don't know. What did you say? Not a very cooperative witness, right? Very adversarial. Then Andrew Levi spoke of a woman who was a friend who he did see romantically.
Nowadays, Mr. Kim, I believe you have to be very careful about how you define what term. Girlfriend could mean this. She is a woman who was a friend who I did see romantically for a period of time.
What the hell was he talking about there? Could you play that again? Play that again, Sam.
Nowadays, Mr. Kim, I believe you have to be very careful about how you define what term. Girlfriend could mean this. She is a woman who was a friend who I did see romantically for a period of time.
God, I wish the attorney there grilling him, doing the inquisition, June Kim, former U.S. attorney for the Southern District, prosecutor in the John Gotti Jr. trial. I wish he would have questioned John Gotti Jr. like that. He'd be doing triple life without parole and Marion for trying to kill me. I guess he grew a set after those four trials. Well, then all of a sudden, they get into this entanglement about how you define a girlfriend. Can you believe it? It got down to this. Cuomo, how do you define a girlfriend?
She was a friend. How do you want to define girlfriend?
Did you date her?
How do you want to define date?
How do you define date?
But it doesn't matter how I define date. How do you define date?
Look how adversarial he is. Now, you think June Kim was going to sort of lighten up? Oh, tough guy Cuomo. You're like, you got 11 females who's saying you're a perv, you're a lech. And he's acting out like, you know who I am? I'm Governor Cuomo. And then, to prove that he is not gender biased, no. Cuomo, you kiss men on the lips.
Am I absolutely sure I never kissed her on the lips? No, I'm not absolutely sure I never kissed her on the lips.
Have you kissed any men on the lips?
Not purposefully. I kiss them on the cheek often.
Okay. But not on the lips other than accidentally.
I may have kissed a man on the lips.
Who?
I don't know.
But not none that you remember.
No, but same answer. I'm not going to say I never kissed a man on the lips.
Wow. Boy, that got real personal, right? You could see that Andrew Cuomo was schwitzing there. Wow. Hey, June Kim, if only you had that set back then when you were cross-examining John Gotti Jr. And I was there saying, get him, June. And oh, he was passive. He rolled over. You know, he was a rookie, a new jack. Now he's seasoned. I want to hear that again. Now, imagine if you were in the witness box and you happen to be a guy. And as part of this inquisition and cross-examination, you were asked if you had kissed a man. Would you take the fifth? Because I know a lot of guys, especially around here, WABC, would take the fifth on that. Probably like 52 times. But anyway, listen to how Andrew Evilize Cuomo. He's so omnipotent. He's so pretentious. He's so full of himself. But look how he struggles to answer this question. But he does eventually.
Am I absolutely sure I never kissed her on the lips? No, I'm not absolutely sure I never kissed her on the lips.
Have you kissed any men on the lips?
Not purposefully. I kiss them on the cheek often.
Okay. But not on the lips other than accidentally.
I may have kissed a man on the lips.
Who?
I don't know.
But not none that you remember.
No, but same answer. I'm not going to say I never kissed a man on the lips.
There were those times where Andrew Evilize Cuomo would welcome a visitor, a guest, somebody who had proven not to be faithful, unworthy of trust, un disgraziato, un traditore. And sitting next to him in the governor's executive office in the mansion would be his leg breaker, his wartime consigliere, Giuseppe Joey Pococo. Joey Pococo, known to swing a Louisville slugger bigger than the bat that Babe Ruth used to hit the 60 home runs, right? It was 60, right? But he also hit 59 one time, right? 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 As I strain your trivia, sports, super spectacular brains out there. And then all of a sudden, at a climactic moment of the meeting, Andrew wouldn't be upset. His eyes weren't bulging out in anger. He wasn't making threats or casting aspersions. He just simply said, okay, Abbas, start to cheat. And he would say in the classic way that it's been said so many times, as he would mull a response and sort of wonder what the next step was. Joe Pococo sitting there in that armchair and ready to do due diligence. He would say, Capo di Cats. Now, do any of you know, it's a dialect. It's Barese. Every dialect is different. Calabrese, Napolitano, Siciliano. Yeah, you Cheeches and Zips. And those of you north of Roma, you think you're better than everyone else in southern Italy. You're not. The boot is better than you. But what does Capo di Cats mean, huh? Pococo knew what that meant. Because then immediately Andrew would rise up, would not shake the visitor's hand, no. He would kiss him on the cheek. And that was the kiss of morte, death. Joe Pococo understood what was next. He would follow the visitor. He would say, hey, by the way, do you need a ride to the Albany International Airport? Yeah, I was going to get a cab. No problem. I'll take you the rest of the way. And then somewhere in Hamilton Hill in Schenectady, not far from where the casino is now, two bullets to the back of this guy's head. He was buried. Out of sight, out of mind. Oh, yeah. Look, I've been telling these stories for years. And people would say, ah, you were embellishing this. You're making it all up. The Cuomos wouldn't do that. They're the sixth family of organized crime. You have the Genovese and Gambinos, the Lucchesis, the Colombos, the Bananos, and you have the Cuomos. And the kiss of death is the kiss on the cheek. When we come back, no Italian here, Greg Kelly. You gotta hear his show in the afternoons. It is the one show that I most want to listen to each and every day if I have the time. And I make the time. You know, when you want to listen to a show, you make the time. When you don't, you come up with excuses why you can't listen. Because you got podcasts. You go to WABCradio.com. Don't be a Chiacchieran or Pinocchio. You can listen to the show. Even if it's not in real time, you get it in podcasts. The franchise here at WABC is Bernard McGirt and Sid Rosenberg in the morning. But the show that you never know from all the twists and turns, it's done by Greg Kelly, 1:15 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday through Fridays, right before my Kumbaticich, Rudy Giuliani. Up next, speaking about kissing, he came up with an observation about kissing. Our number is 1-800-848-9222, and it is quite pertinent to our discussion now. 1-800-848-WABC.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow.
What the hell is this, man?
Man, it does.
Man, that's
show signs.
That's how guys and gals get into trouble. Well, maybe that's the one good thing about global warming and climate change. A guy can never pull a line like that any longer. It's, hey, you shouldn't go outside, so let's just curl up in front of the toasty fire. That is promoting cheating. That's what that song does, promotes cheating. I am shocked that you young whippersnappers here who have placed mistletoes all over here at WABC, so whether it's guys kissing guys, girls kissing girls, everyone kissing one another, it doesn't matter. It's like 52 mistletoes in here at WABC. And they even emit pollen. So if you have allergies, you start sneezing before you lock lips. But anyway, on that note, since that's the reason that Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo was in such trouble with Tish James is the fact that he was lip-locking with everybody in his office, whether they wanted it or not. Well, our own Greg Kelly weighed in on this because he's been a bit of a defender of the Cuomos. He's saying, hey, it's over the top. You know, what he did was wrong, but come on. This is like what? What is this? Going to end up like 52 lashes?
Growing up, you know, people, I didn't want to kiss people growing up when I was like 6, 7, 8. I was reluctant. I didn't want to kiss. I just, and then I noticed that adults like kissed each other who weren't like married. You know, they just had these little, and I'm like, really? And do we really, maybe, I don't know. Maybe 6-year-old Greg Kelly was onto something.
Let me tell you something. That's the difference between the Irish, Greg Kelly, and the Italians. Italians, they kiss everything. They kiss themselves first because they're in love with themselves, infatuated with themselves, like Frank Morano, you know. They have an inflated estimation of their own ability, so they kiss themselves. And they kiss themselves on the hands. Now, those of you out there who claim to be scholars, I'd like to know which ethnic group created this old tradition, because I don't really see it much, but you see it in the old black and white movies where the man is introduced to the woman, a stranger, and he bows, curtsies in some cases, depending on if he's a gender bender, and he kisses the woman's hand. Which ethnic group created this? I don't think it's the Italians or the French, because, you know, they kiss everything. They lip lock everything. You go and visit a French family or an Italian family, you better hope that they haven't used toilet water or cheap perfume or high karate or Old Spice. Because, man, let me tell you something. If they got that sweet water on, you're going to gag because they don't stop kissing. It's very traditional. What tradition? I go with Greg Kelly on that one. 1-800-848-9222. But I am intrigued on which ethnic group created this concept of kissing a woman's hand. I think this came about because people had hand fetishes. Yeah, you know, all kinds of freaky deaky fetishes. But I think they kissed the hand as opposed to the feet because they had a hand fetish. 1-800-848-WABC. Speaking of somebody that I think any of you guys out there would want to kiss her feet, would want to kiss her hands, I think we have an answer to the question that I put out there as to who the home slice of Julian Assange was when he was, what can we call it, self-incarcerated in the Ecuadorian embassy because naturally, Hillary wanted him arrested, incarcerated. Want him brought to Fort Wayne, Indiana, to the federal prison there. Put him. That's right. Put him right there. Old Sparky, electric chair. You know, they still have them in some federal prisons. Let's go to Johnny in Washington Heights. See if he knows the answer to that brain buster there, Johnny.
Yes, hello. Pamela Anderson.
Oh, yes. Now, I would have stayed in that Ecuadorian embassy in perpetuity there, right, John?
Whatever, sure.
Can you believe it? Out of all the guys that Pamela Anderson could be snacking on, she would sail across the ocean, you know, in the Queen Mary III, just to be able to get a conjugal visit with Julian Assange. I mean, come on. The guy, first of all, they had no water. You know, New Scotland Yard turned off all the water, so they had no water. The guy hadn't bathed in, like months. What do you think she saw in this guy, Johnny?
I don't know.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Pamela Anderson, I think all those times she was at Hugh Hefner's Palazzo out there in Beverly Hills, was often seen to be parallel to things. She just had the urge to merge. Just happened that Julian Assange was like primo, number one, macho, maniacal guy. Remember the Swedish authorities who never arrest anybody? They put out a warrant for his arrest. They wanted him extradited because he was in the hot tub with the Swedish meatballs and some women that said, oh, he touched my thigh. And Sweden, who never arrests anybody. They don't believe in prisons. You could kill the prime minister as they did right on Main Street in downtown Stockholm. They never caught the persons. Even if they had caught him, they would have said, gee whiz, we can't incarcerate you with Swedes. They wanted Julian Assange. Oh, yeah. You're a sexual pervert. You're a predator. Why weren't you just satisfied with the Swedish meatballs in that hot tub instead of snacking on a Swedish blonde-haired, blue-eyed bombshell like Pamela Anderson? And now you know the rest of the story. 1-800-848-9222. But you see, I was thrown off by the Frank Morano caller that we just spoke to up in Washington Heights. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Amir, who's calling all the way from Boston. Your turn to be heard here on WABC. And may I say this, though, Amir. I hate Boston cream pie. I hate Boston baked beans. I hate the Boston Red Sox, the Boston Celtics, the Boston Bruins, the New England Patriots of the old Brady Bunch and Coach Belichick. Did I make myself clear of how much I hate Boston, Amir?
And I hate the Giants because their record, you know what it is, and the Jets, so what's up? Don't go there, Curtis.
I've had better days.
By the way, that guy, the answer you gave you is wrong. It was the ancient Persians, the real Aryans, who came up with the kissing thing. And I know this, and my boy, Jay Diamond and Lynn Samuels can confirm that. So can Ron Coop.
So now, let me get this straight. You are claiming that the perversion of kissing a woman's hand, a fetish that it was yep. created by which ethnic group?
The Persians, the cream of the crop in the Middle East. The Aryans, the real Aryans, not the Germans.
You couldn't be more hopelessly wrong. Nice try, though. He had a good comeback there because, you know, I disparaged Boston. And the other reason I hate Boston, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Who was birthed in Boston? Who became a plague on us? Who was baptized Vanna von Wilhelm? Yes, Bill de Blasio. His father was a war hero, fought in the Pacific against the Japanese, was seriously injured. And then he came up with his fake, phony, fraudulent, fugazi story that the reason he changed his name is that his father, the war hero, had abused him. He had six siblings. One brother owns a steakhouse in Atlantic City. And you know, his last name is Von Wilhelm, Kaiser Von Wilhelm. None of them changed their last names. But he knew he was coming to his calling because the archangel had called him Satan and said, I want you to take the maiden name of your mother, de Blasio, because I want you to single-handedly make up for the curse of Babe Ruth by taking a Miley Cyrus wrecking ball and destroying New York City, which stole the greatest baseball player in the history of American baseball. See, wasn't Curt Schilling up there with the stigmata, the bleeding sock? Oh, no. Oh, no. It was Satan calling upon Bill von Wilhelm to flip the script, come down as an Italian. Because, you know, if you're out in the South Shore of Staten Island, you got a vowel at the end of your name. Poof. You're elected. I mean, look at me. I have a vowel at the end of my name, right? Although I'm not Italian, only on my mother's side. But Sliwa, which means plum, in Polish, Russian, and Ukrainian is a vowel. So everybody out in Staten, Italy thinks, hey, he's Italian like us. I got 70% of the vote. It pays to be Italian in Staten Island. So Bill de Blasio says, if I come down as an Italian and I pretend that my favorite baseball player of all time was Rico Petrocelli, who played shortstop for the Boston Red Sox, I will wear a throwback Met jersey with a number 6 on it, because that was his number, even though he was a Boston Red Sox. Rico Petrocelli, who went to Lafayette High School in Bensonhurst, right across the street from the Marlboro Housing Projects, like the relief pitcher John Franco. Is that enough for your Curtis Sliwa Super Sports Spectacular update? Take that, Sid Rosenberg. And he came down and he was a Fugazi Italian. And then when he was running for office, he bamboozled you. He marched in the annual Christopher Columbus Day Parade on 18th Avenue in Bensonhurst. I remember seeing him. And hey, he had a few words of Italian. Ranzoni sono buoni. Ranzoni is so good. Oh, Italian. Oh, Italian. Oh, you schmucks. A spaghetti bender he was. He knew how to twirl the spaghetti, right? Did it the right way with the fork he had practiced a month of Sundays. And all of you said, oh, he's a real Italian. And then he goes out to Staten, Italy, right on Highland Boulevard, and he goes to Goodfellas Pizzeria, owned by a Scientologist, I might add. What kind of pizzeria is that? Well, anyway, he goes to Goodfellas, and the Gavone doesn't pick up the slice of pizza. He eats it with a knife and a fork. That was the sign of 666. It was satanic. He was signaling to all of us that this Fugazi Italian was out to destroy us. But oh no, you say give him another chance against Nicole Malliotakis and Bo Dietl. What the hell was he doing in the race, right? Just taking votes away from Nicole. Maybe he was helping Bill de Blasio, huh? I don't trust all these people. See, now you know the rest of the story. See, you're going to learn something here when you listen to Curtis Lee. You listen to Frank Morano. He's talking about little gray aliens running around, UFOs, you know, constellations. Can't even figure out what stars they are. Asteroids ready to crash into your cranium, your medulla, and your cerebellum. That's Frank. This is Curtis. Let's go to Carol in New Jersey. Sorry to keep you waiting so long, but I had to get that out of my system, Carol. I had to get that out of my system. Carol's snoring. Hey, Carol Reed, give us the weather. You see, this is typical of Frank Morano callers. They hang on, they snore, they sleep. You know, because they got to get 18 hours of sleep a day. God forbid they don't get a full 18 hours of sleep. Now, let me get into this, because if you don't want people to kiss you, there is a preventative measure. And enough of you guys out there, you use that toilet water, that turlet water, that sweet water. You ever see these guys, they walk around and they're splashing themselves, they're spritzing themselves with that high karate. What does that cost, like 60 cents for a whole bottle? And then I see, what was it, on eBay? They had half a bottle of high karate for like $60, just for the old time's sake. You stink. When you throw that high karate or Old Spice on you, it twirls the hairs in your schnoz, in your nostrils. Nobody's going to kiss you. And God forbid you kiss that guy or you let that guy kiss you. That stink is going to, it's going to follow you like a plume for hours. You won't be able to scrub it off with laundry soap. Nothing. With Comet. No. Ajax. No. Baroxo. Boy, that's a deep cleanse, right? Baroxo. Remember Baroxo out there? And then the ladies, they like to be all perfumed up with that Chief perfume that makes you gag. Charlie Blue, Sugarberry Berry. What kind of perfumes are that? It comes from the Ozarks, the Appalachians. That's hillbilly perfume. But, oh, it's less than $10. It's affordable. And you don't put a little pinch, you know, underneath your jaws. You take a bath in it. And, oh, my, you can smell that woman two blocks away. And then if you're stuck in the elevator, oh, my God. And you got the mask on, the mandatory mask. That's it. You're out. Somebody's going to have to give you CPR. And hopefully it's not that hillbilly woman that's drenched with Charlie Blue or Sugarberry Berry, because that's it. You won't be able to breathe. Any of you out there know what I'm talking about? What we call turlet water, sweet water. I would ban it all. I really would. I would ban it all. And who are the people who actually use Old Spice or High Karate or that incense and peppermint that they drench themselves with? It's like, what, you really think you're going to attract a woman? Like, you're a dullard. You got no personality. But, oh, I'm going to put on some Old Spice and High Karate, and I'm going to be a macho, maniacal Italian stallion. No. You wear the cornu. You put rosary beads around your neck. It ain't happening. And then women out there, oh, I'll get all dolled up. Okay, you get all dolled up. Okay, you're very presentable. And then you make the mistake of drenching yourself with cheap perfume. It's like cheap gin. You know, a guy who has Jake Lake, Rum Rouge. Does anybody out there know what I'm talking about when I say you have Jake Lake and Rum Rouge and the gin is just like absorbed into your pores and you walk around and you smell like cheap whiskey, cheap vodka, cheap gin. And that's like, yeah, that's actually preferable to Old Spice and High Karate. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC.
We are New York on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Beats too slow. I don't get the groove to the move, but hey, it's acceptable. But before we go into a different hour, I got to go back to classic Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo jousting with the former U.S. Attorney for the Southern District, June Kim, who used to be representing the U.S. versus John Gotti Jr. in the trial. Four trials against him for the kidnap and killing of yours truly, Curtis Sliwa. And the defense was, he's not dead, he's alive. So why are you charging me with murder? Anyway, let's go to the audio tape when all of a sudden June Kim is asking him about a woman friend that he maybe have been seeing on the slide aside as his home slice.
Nowadays, Mr. Kim, I believe you have to be very careful about how you define what term. Girlfriend could mean this. She is a woman who was a friend who I did see romantically for a period of time.
Oh. Could have answered that a lot quicker. And then June Kim asked Cuomo, how do you define a girlfriend?
She was a friend. How do you want to define girlfriend?
Did you date her?
How do you want to define date?
How do you define date?
But it doesn't matter how I define date. How do you define date?
And then finally, the question that guys sometimes dread being asked when, you know, all of a sudden it's, you play dare. Got to answer the question or you're out. June Kim asked him a question that had Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, Mr. El Romantico. I told you for years this guy was a curb jumper chasing skirts, but had him flummoxed.
Am I absolutely sure I never kissed her on the lips? No, I'm not absolutely sure. I never kissed her on the lips.
Have you kissed any men on the lips?
Not purposefully. Mm-hmm. I kissed them on the cheek often.
Okay. But not on the lips other than accidentally.
I may have kissed a man on the lips.
Who?
I don't know.
Okay. But not none that you remember.
No, but same answer. I'm not going to say I never kissed a man on the lips.
You know something? I think he did lip lock with a guy. I really do. You know, he went to Molloy High School, White Shoes Molloy. I played ball against some of the guys in Molloy. You know, all of a sudden I'd be in the locker there with Brooklyn Prep. They'd come over there and they'd want to have a conversation with me in the locker. Let me get the hell out of here and jump on that E train and get the hell out of here near Jamaica Hospital. Why do you think they called it White Shoes Molloy? But anyway, the big story of the day is many of you are not aware what was going on behind the scenes at the Cuomo National Network. Jets were flying in, private jets to Teterboro. No, not the jet of Epstein. That's for a different day. We'll talk about that trial against his procurer, his Madame Extraordinaire, Maxwell. No. Not that plane. They were flying in on the corporate jets from the Cuomo National Network. And they were being summoned for a sit-down. Right there in the Hudson Yards. You know, nobody's there now. It's like a morgue. They might as well start selling mausoleums there. You talk about the return of Midtown. Oh, CNN is there. Well, nobody's going to go there because nobody's watching them. Except the new CEO came in. The chief executive of Discovery, who masterminded a deal this year to merge CNN's parent company, Warner Media. And he visited CNN's Hudson Yards. Do you know what his name was? Virgil Salazio. Can't shout him. By the way, who is the real Virgil Salazio? If you'd like to win a Curtis Lewa Booby Prize, 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. And he said, I represent the Tatalia family. And I want to tell you that we got to get out of here, the Hudson Yards, because there's nobody in this place. It's a mausoleum. It's a catacombs. It's like empty, and they still keep building it up and up and up. So we're going to go to the Bronx. We're going to go up the Joe DiMaggio Highway. We're going to take the Cross Bronx Expressway. We're going to go up to Gun Hill Road where it merges with White Plains Road. And we're going to go for a sit-down at Louie's Restaurant. You know Louie's Restaurant there? By the way, you old-timers, what was the real name of Louie's Restaurant? 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC, where White Plains Road meets Gun Hill Road. They had a sit-down. It was 13 of them. You know, like the Last Supper, right? 13! And then all of a sudden, the man whose life and career was on the line, not Fredo, not Chris Cuomo, Jeff Zucker, failed at NBC, failed at the Cuomo National Network. And finally, he went outside and he confronted pretty boy Fredo. And he gave him the kiss of death right on his pretty boy cheek. No, not his tuchus, not his duper. Right there on his cheek. And he told Fredo, you broke my heart. You broke my heart, Fredo. And Fredo ran out the door at Louis. And he ended up in the compound out in the Hamptons, the Cuomo compound, with Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, where there are very few friends and only enemies on the outside. And now you know the rest of the story. But there was more that came out from the report that was dropped, like Julian Assange dropped the WikiLeaks reports on Hillary Rodham Clinton, and Huma. Yeah, you remember Huma, whose husband Anthony the Weiner Wiener. What a piece of work he was. But there was more to the story. There was the case of Annabelle Walsh. You say, who's Annabelle Walsh? She was one of those women on the inner circle of Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo at the executive mansion on Lark Street in Albany when he had his trusted husky, El Capitan, remember? They were called the Mean Girls. And she was the director of scheduling for 8 years. So she had made her bones with the Cuomo family. And she was asked by the attorney, June Kim, Did Cuomo occasionally kiss you on the lips? And she said, yeah, sometimes. And June Kim was like, really, like asking very personal questions, if you notice. How long did it last? She said a second or two, you know, like a little goodbye. June Kim asks Annabelle Walsh, were you put off by that? No, I thought it was a term of endearment. Then there was another episode. Oh, very sordid, very sordid. Apparently, the mean girls were having a fight with one another. They had that VO5 hairspray that they had tossed into their hair that gave them more hair, and they were fighting amongst one another. And if you've ever seen women fight when they have VO5 in their hair, their hands get stuck to their beehive hairdos, and they can't get their hand off one another. So in order to break up that cat fight, according to those on hand, according to the Tish James report, that Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo himself lobbed a bag of fruit at them. A bag of fruit, a bag of dried apricots. Half of them had already been eaten. Inquiring minds want to be able to find that old bag of apricots, check the DNA, and to see who had eaten those apricots and didn't throw the pits away. How uncouth! How uncivilized! And then apparently there was another battle with Annabelle Walsh about Andrew Evil Eye Cuomo's governor headshot. He was vain, sort of like Frank Morano. I've told you many times, look at Frank Morano's Facebook page. You would think, like, we now learned that he's 35. One of the callers who eats the Parmesan cheese ratted him out and said, hey, Frank, he's 35. But if you look at the photo on his Facebook page, his headshot, it's his graduation picture from Tottenville High School where he's a purple pirate. And you ask Frank, how old are you, Frank? None of your B.I.B. business. Well, apparently a big fight broke out with the Mean Girls because they couldn't figure out what was the better headshot for Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo. Could you imagine the guy was so vain that the fight was over what new headshot photo they were going to use because he was a man who could have been king, could have been the president. You know, he was on such a trajectory, projecting up, that they were already fashioning a new position on Mount Rushmore. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. Oh, they still let him up there, Thomas Jefferson. You know, he had slaves. George Washington, he had slaves. Did they still let him up there? Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt. Hey, they're taking his statue away from the Museum of Natural History. That'll leave one person up there, Lincoln. So the other two spots were going to be occupied by Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo and Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo in Fredo. It could have been that Mount Rushmore would have been Mario Cuomo, would have been Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, would have been Abraham Lincoln and Fredo. But it wasn't to be, because Tish James, in her desire for vengeance, crushed the Cuomo clan.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Bells will be ringing the sad, sad news.
God, the singer sounds like they've had quaaludes. Please. You think we could get anything more upbeat? More EDM style? More disco style? Oh, God, this is so depressing, this song. And this is supposed to be a Christmas song. Who picked this off the rack? Who played this vinyl? You did? You must be tone deaf. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-9222. I don't know if there is any EDM electronic dance music of which I'm an aficionado at 67 years old. That is a rarity. But I love EDM. And I've yet to hear any EDM on this station. What's the matter? You prejudice against me? I'm doing the show for Frank Morano. I ask for one little thing. Find me some Christmas music that has an EDM electronic dance music theme. What do I get? Nothing. 1-800-848-9222. I want to ask you, where was the first place that they had open injections, an open injection center, an actual island that if you were a dope fiend, if you were a heroin addict, in the middle of a major municipal area, probably has one of the highest cost of living expenses now in all the world. They actually put aside an island, and you would go there. They had machines, vending machines. You could actually get your needles. They gave you free drugs, and you could inject yourself into just a stupor. Anybody happen to know that place? 1-800-848-9222. It was long ago, too. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Tom in the Bronx. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Tommy.
Yeah. I'd like to say, Curtis, you would know something like this. The bail bonds people or the corporations, is that a company?
Yeah, of course. Bail bonds.
The bail bonds people... When this new law went into effect, and now it's supposed to be countrywide, how much money did they lose when they're not able to get bail? You know, people aren't getting, they don't need bail, I mean.
Tom,
how much are they losing?
Have you ever been in a situation where you had to go to a bail bondsman for yourself, someone you know, somebody you love,
thank
a friend?
God, no.
Okay, well, up in the Bronx, they used to be all over 161st Street. Downtown Brooklyn, downtown Manhattan, wherever the courthouses where you had the bail bonds.
This is the question I have for you, actually. How much money are they losing with this new law? And could they be behind all these characters snatching things and running off with them deliberately because they want their business back?
Ah, so you mean nefariously... The bail bondsmen, most of whom are out of business because of the no cash bail laws that are in every state in the nation to one degree or another. So, yeah, you're right. They have put the whole industry out. In fact, the only lobbyists that were trying to resist no bail throughout America were the United American Association of Bail Bondsmen.
Could they be behind all these snatchings going on?
Huh. You know, it causes me to pause and give that thought.
Yeah, I really wonder because it's a theory I have. But in other words, all these individuals like you yourself, you said you went up against some characters, and the next day they were put in jail. The next day they're out roaming around again.
That's right, and not only that, as somebody who's been arrested 76 times in 42 years, I've had to be bailed out often, or I would have been torn limb from limb in the prisons throughout the United States where they wanted to house me and incarcerate me. So I know the bail system pretty much. So do you know how it works, Tom?
The which?
You know how the bail system works, the bail bondsman,
well,
you know?
Not really. I know that individuals have... money put up for them, and then they waltz out of there.
Very good. Well, you're halfway there. I don't want to declare myself to be an expert. I'm not like Frank Morano, who thinks like the Encyclopedia Britannica, an expert on everything when he's an expert on nothing. But I know that there are a lot of people now who are unemployed because the bail bonds industry has basically been destroyed. If anybody out there who can actually chew gum and think at the same time, unlike Tom in the Bronx, are willing to come forward and actually explain to us how the bail bondsmen make their money and how they determine who can qualify for the bail and who is a non-qualified person.
Yeah. Curtis, I'll just say one last thing. Did you ever see The Simpsons?
Do you think I have time to watch The Simpsons, Tom in the Bronx? Do you watch The Simpsons? Tom, I mean, be honest. You could tell us. Come on, Tom. Tom, hopefully this is not the big one. You know, Tom's been with us since the days of Bob Grant. Are you there, Tom? Oh, my God. This might be the end of Tom. Tom used to actually send me books in the U.S. Postal Service. They would take like 2.5 years to get to me because the guy would never pay the postage. So we would keep going back to Tom in the Bronx. You know, they'd ask him for more postage, the post person, post office person. He'd put more money on it, and it would be shipped, and they would ship it back. What happened to Tom there? Tom, please, if you happen to be there, even if all of a sudden, you know, this could be the big one, like Red Fox, remember? The big one. Please, the last thing you got to do, don't call 911. Call us. At least we know that you're still alive. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Keith, who's calling from Manhattan. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Keith.
Hey, Curtis, I think I know the answer to your question, but real quickly, I want to tell everybody listening, if you cannot afford vet care, take your cat or dog to the Animal Care and Control on East 110th Street. They'll help you. And I think the first place for free needles and the works, at least that I know of, was Zurich, Switzerland, but it might have been Amsterdam.
No, you are absolutely correct.
Decades ago.
Yes, you are absolutely correct. It was in Zurich at Platz Spitz Park in the late 70s, 80s. Thousands of heroin addicts in the heart of downtown Zurich. They had an island there. It was called Needle Park. And you would go in there, and it was completely supported by the taxpayers. They pay a lot of taxes in Switzerland. It's not a liberal or progressive country. It's a very conservative country. In fact, remember, every able-bodied male must have a gun in their home in Switzerland, and they have to do military service. But you are absolutely correct, Keith.
Well, thank you. And it's a very old, stuffy, rich town. I've been there when I was in my 20s, and, you know, I guess they just decided let's take some of our money and put them in this little corner, and so we don't have to worry about them.
Now, did you have a Swiss Miss Coco while you were there in Zurich, Switzerland?
No, but it's funny. My best friend and I, we hitchhiked to the Alps, and we hiked up into the mountains, and before we went up in the mountains, this was 1972, I'm your age. I'm 67 on the Upper West Side. And old ladies in the bakeries, they gave us a bunch of cookies and things to take up to the mountains. And you could hear the cows with their bells around their necks. And then the American Air Force and the Swiss Air Force just zooming their jets down in between the mountains. It was really cool. And, of course, we had some hashish with us, so it made it even more cool.
Now, was the hashish from the Bekaa Valley between Lebanon, Syria, and Israel?
I don't know, but that's all you could get in Europe in the early 1970s. We got ripped off trying to buy some in Piccadilly Circus in London, but, you know, we were 17-year-old kids.
Now, when you were up in the Swiss Alps in Switzerland, did you have any Ricola?
You know, I remember that. It's a beverage, right?
The lozenge. Ricola.
What is it?
Ricola. I'm probably mispronouncing it because, as you know, I have a propensity, Keith, to botulize the English language and actually create a term that is indecipherable to the normal people. But I'm trying to sort of, in a multisyllabic way, actually put all the letters together and pronounce it correctly.
Oh, I do remember it. You say it's a sausage?
Sausage, no. Keith, been smoking too much hash. You see, this is what hash does to you over a long period of time. I believe that Keith, unbeknownst to him, when he was sucking on those Ricola lozenges, having his Swiss Miss chocolate cocoa there in the Swiss Alps, after having gone to Zurich there, and deciding not to shoot up where it's legal, and they give you the drugs in Platz Spitz Park. But smoking that hash. You know, you can chew hash. I don't know if many of you know, you can actually chew hash. There was a time where I was pumping gas at Rocky's gas station on Seaview Avenue and Rockaway Parkway. I had been kicked out of high school, Brooklyn Prep. The Jesuits had shined their boots on my backside. I never looked back. And my father, Chester, was upset. He was, I had to talk to him on Ship to Shore Radio. He was out at sea on an oil tanker, and he said, look, kid, you got three choices. You can go back to school. That's the easiest choice. You can go out and get a job, and you have to pay room and board $70 a week. I had no negotiable skills. This was 1972. Or you can pack your bags and get the hell out of the house. Well, I wasn't going to do that either. So I went out and looked for a job. And I remember I was walking around Seaview Avenue and Rockaway Parkway, right across from the Bayview Projects, and I saw this big sign that said, Night Manager Wanted. And I went there during the day, and it was Rocky there. Rocky had just finished doing a bid for counterfeiting. I think he did like 7 years in Allenwood. And he was behind this bulletproof glass. First time I ever saw that one-way glass, you know. Because obviously there were members of organized crime there who he had probably ripped off. He wanted to see who was ever coming in the front door. So I knocked on the window. I said, hey, Rocky, I'm your night manager. And he looked at me and he said, what do you know about a gas station? What do you know about being a night manager? I said, I know everything. He said, well, it's your lucky day. I haven't been able to hire a night manager here for the past 8 months. You got it. And I'd be pumping gas, and I'd be cleaning your windows, and I'd be checking your motor oil, and I'd be checking, yeah, to make sure that everything was in working order. And at that time, remember, there were three pumps. There was high test. Everybody wanted high test. It was regular. And there was the new no lead gas that nobody wanted. Nobody wanted that. So all the Supreme Cuisines, they'd have the muscle cars, and they'd come in and they'd be counting nickels, dimes, and pennies to get like maybe a dollar's worth of high test. It would take them around two blocks because that's all you'd get. And they'd rip me off. The moment I pumped the gas in, boom, they'd take off. And by the morning, when you would try to add the amount of money you had in the cash register to the number of gallons that were pumped, Rocky would say, hey, what's up here? You owe me money. By the end of that first week, I owed Rocky $28.38. So I got to say, man, I'll never be able to. I'm going to have to go back to school, and I don't want to go back to school. So I got to outsmart these Supreme Cuisines with their muscle cars. So I went out, and I got some ball bearings, and I put a ball bearing on top of the high-test pump, a ball bearing on the no-lead pump that nobody ever bought, but at least the ball bearing was there, and on the regular pump. And every time that you would come in with your muscle car, your GTO car, and you'd say, I want 86 cents worth of high-test, I would grab the ball bearing, and as I'm pumping the gas in, I'm acting like I'm a shot putter. And a guy, Vinny or Charlie or Joey, would say, hey, Curtis, what are you doing? I said, I'm practicing for the Olympics. He said, come on, you're a skinny Bellini. What do you mean you're a shot putter? I said, not for nothing. People have been beating me at the pump. So what I do is, when they try to pull out, I throw this ball bearing through the back windshield, which costs them $25. Stop the pump. And they collect their nickels, dimes, and pennies. And now you know the rest of the story. I continued to be the night manager at Rocky's Shell gas station right on the corner of Seaview Avenue and Rockaway Parkway in the shadow of the Bayview Projects. Anyway, let's go to Bobby in Brooklyn. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Bobby.
Curtis, good morning. Good morning, Curtis.
Is it morning?
Looks, I'm up early. So
looks dark outside.
But I'm retired, so I'm up at all crazy hours all the time.
What are you retired? What are you retired from, Bobby?
I was a milk truck driver in Brooklyn.
Oh.
30 years. So
and for which company? Which company?
I started with Sunnydale Farms.
Sunnydale. Do you know that there used to be an actual farm with cows in Ozone Park?
I'm not too sure. I don't know. My cousin still lives over on 124th Street in South Ozone Park. So,
and then down in Jamaica, wasn't that the Elmwood Dairy there?
Yeah. But I'm still aching from all those years. So I'm trying to recover. But I took a ride into Penn Station about a month ago. And one of the previous calls was talking about all the homeless all over the place. I noticed that. I used to take a cab from Penn Station to East Village. stay at the St. Mark's Hotel. You know that old hotel over there in East Village?
Yeah, what were you doing at the St. Mark's Hotel, man? That was a dive.
Well, I stayed there. I used to stay there for one day, and then I used to stroll around East Village, go to McSorley's, hang out. And I took a stroll into the Bowery.
Oh, by the way, Bobby, while you were there, you know the baths were right across the street here on St. Mark's place. You know that?
No.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you're laughing. You know what used to go on in the baths.
Oh, yeah.
What would they do? They give you a little cloth towel. They put it. You put it around your loins, and you go in there for a schwitz.
Well,
and then you go in anyway. You go in a cubicle, and you get a surprise.
Right, right. You give me a laughing at this early in the morning, but
anyway. Bobby. Hey, you knew your way around the block in the Lower East Side, the big LES.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. Saying I'm kind of like a street person because of all the years I've lived over here. But anyway, I watch when I go into the city. I have eyes all over my head. But I took a stroll into the Bowery, the old Bowery.
Yeah, before you get to the Bowery, I want to go back to that dive of a hotel you were staying in. Didn't you get bed bugs there?
Well, I asked the guy. I said, I want to go up to the room and check it out first before I pay. I always do that, which he. Going to give me a pot. I didn't get nothing there. No. No. I could get bed bugs on a hotel in Long Island. But I was like, you know, they were all over the freaking place.
Didn't you ever say your prayers down on your hands and knees right next to your Serta Perfect mattress there, and you say, I hope the bed bugs don't bite, you know, after you did your Hail Marys and Our Fathers, right?
Yeah, well, there's times where the bed was kind of funky, I figured. I was going to just throw the blankets on the floor and lay there, you know.
Bobby, I need to ask you another inquiring question. Did you ever have a visitor in your room, one of the ladies of the night that oftentimes was selling their wares down on St. Mark's Play going, place going to Tompkins Square Park?
No. I mean, I've been approached a few times, but I don't go near that. No. No.
Didn't you ever think, like, maybe this is the one?
No.
Come on, you attempted, Bobby. Don't lie. Come on, Bobby. Come on, Bobby. Don't lie. I mean, you didn't know if they were men, women.
There's no sweethearts over there. There's no sweethearts over there. No. I mean, I kind of mind my own business, and you know. But I mean, I'm always approached by the.
Wait a second, Bobby. You're not. This is. You're not being. Bobby. You're not being truthful. The milkman knows everything, because how many children were born in this world? Because the milkman was fooling around with the woman of the house, and all of a sudden the father came home and said, I didn't know I got you pregnant, and they found out it was the milkman.
Well, the milkman always gets blamed for that, yeah. Well,
yeah, you see, Bobby? You're not being truthful with us, Bobby.
I'm a pretty straight shooter that way. No, I don't. Years ago, a couple of times with my buddies, we go out and, you know.
Yeah, you see, now we're pulling it out of you a little at a time.
It's about the Bowery. When I was down at the Bowery, I said, there's nothing there no more. I was saying to myself, I guess Giuliani cleaned that up. I don't know what he did, because I have an old film by Lionel Rogers, and I don't know if you ever heard of it.
I see, Bobby's going to keep talking, because he likes to hear himself talk. He has no idea that I'm not listening, and you all are not listening, and he's talking up a storm. It took him like 10 minutes to talk about the Bowery, right? He's probably going to say, yeah, CBGBs, you know, now you couldn't even afford a parking space without taking out a reverse mortgage to go to the Bowery. What does he know about the Bowery? The only Bowery he ever knew was the Bowery Savings Bank, and the guy who was hawking it was Joe DiMaggio at the time. He's still talking. Anyway, let's go to Original Rick in New Jersey. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Rick.
Hey, good morning, Curtis.
Hey, good morning to you.
Anyway, I'm getting ready to go down and feed the animals, but I heard you talking about your cars where you'd throw the ball bearing through the window. I used to park cars for Plato's Retreat.
Whoa.
When they were on 34th and 10th.
So wait a second. You did valet parking for all those freaks?
No, not valet parking. I just told them where to go.
Okay, but still.
And take the money.
still, the fact is that you saw all these freaky couples coming into Plato's retreat.
Well, listen, the reason I worked in the parking lot is because they had me inside doing security. And Curtis, there's a whole new demographic when you have to throw out a naked person. There's no such thing as a bum's rush to a naked person, you know?
Now, tell me, because this was pre-dawn safe sex.
Right.
People didn't have to wear jimmy caps.
Nope.
But what was your role in security? You're walking around, and you're seeing men on top of women on top of men on top of women. It is Caligula. It is it's an orgy.
Right.
How did you control yourself? How did you keep yourself from stripping your clothes off and diving in there as if it was a mosh pit?
Well, because you couldn't do that on when you're on duty. If you wanted to play around after duty, that's fine. But when you're on duty,
Did you have that urge, original Rick?
Well, of course.
Of course.
I'm a guy. Come on. Guys used to offer me their wife as a tip. Hey, Rick. I'm kind of short this week. Can Mary give you a BJ? No, Bob. Just catch me next week. You know? Are you kidding me?
See, he's still talking. Original Rick is still talking. He has no idea that we're not listening any longer, and I'm not talking. Because, you see, he's become consumed with this story. He's been transported. It's theater of the mind. Those were the best days of his life. He was a security officer at Plato's Retreat. Now, I know for some of the young huckleberries here at WABC, you know, as they're scratching their bellies, they wonder, what the hell is Plato's Retreat? Man, anything went at Plato's Retreat. It was a swingers club. They were swinging from the chandeliers. They were swinging from the curtains. They were swinging all over the place. And it had STDs, the Racer's Edge, all over the place. Wow. The memories. 1-800-848-9222. We'll call him Swingin' Rick.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Lame. No electronic dance music, no disco. Wow, you guys are like fuddy-duddies. You're older than Frank Morano. Frank Morano's like 35, and he acts like he's 85. And I guess he's got a crew that matches that. Anyway, remember, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, this is big, right? Because I know Frank Morano would never pay off. He's a welcher. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. And if you can answer them in 1 minute... Because you're all special ed in the Frank Morano show, you'll be lucky if you can answer the first question, and you're probably going to have to say, stop, let me Google it first. You get $1,000 from Frank. Notice, he doesn't say like 3 questions, 4. He knows nobody can get 10 questions. He knows that. And he's probably going to be hiding behind our owner-operator, John Katsimatidis, and saying, if anybody happens to be lucky enough to win, John's going to pay the freight. And then, of course, at the end of the program, before I pass the phones off to Jet Set Juliet, the full hour of news you get from 5 to 6 before Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg take you from 6 to 10, we're going to give you your 15 seconds of infamy and fame. Why it's so short, I haven't figured out why Frank Morano has given that thing that I created so long ago, Rapid Fire, right? Rapid Fire Edition, a bris. But anyway, let's go to the phones. Richie, who's been patiently waiting on the line in Manhattan. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Richie Rich.
Curtis, we just got back from Kyoto. We're staying at the W on Broadway and 46th Street here. And I have to tell you, Curtis, in Japan, they have designations for people like you. They actually call them national treasures. You are a treasure. There is nobody, doesn't even come close. Nobody has the knowledge, the intimate knowledge of this city. You talk coherently on any topic. You need a national forum on TV with your talent and charisma. I'm going back. You probably don't remember the name, a la Joe Pine. You are unique, Curtis.
Yes, now that you mentioned Joe Pine. By the way, I actually have guardian angels throughout Japan, believe it or not, Rich. And I am a national treasure. I am a national treasure, and some people have suggested that I should get buried. Because that's what you do with treasure. You bury it. Let me tell you about Joe Pyne. He was the predecessor to so many on talk radio and talk TV. This is in the late 50s. And this guy used to smoke like four packs of Chesterfield, no filters. And he like dies of lung cancer at like 48. But he was like bombastic. He would take anybody on. And they had to continue the show, right? The show must go on. You've heard that. And you know who his news guy was on the radio side? Bob Grant, who had graduated from the University of Illinois in Springfield. And they said, Bob, you're going to have to take over for Joe Pyne. But he says, I was trained as a journalist. You know, as Chris Cuomo would say, I was trained not to have an opinion. And so they said, hey, Bob, you're going to have to develop an opinion quick or we're all going to be fired. Now you know how the king of talk radio came about, Bob Grant. He developed an opinion lickety-split. Went from L.A. to New York, the old WMCA. Then they exiled him to Philadelphia. Then he came back, rolled his way into WABC after we flipped from spinning stacks of wax into the number one news talk station in the nation. And this, our 100th anniversary, we're celebrating. And as Paul Harvey would say, who used to have 15 minutes of commentary from 11:45 to 12 noon each and every day on WABC, now you know the rest of the story.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
See, this is what Frank Morano has purloined from my vast musical collection. The Swan Silvertones, it used to be my theme song when I did overnight, so naturally, what did Frank Morano do? He took it as if it was his own. He did a smash and grab on me. He did. And I bet you he's never credited me. Never credited me for this the Swan Silvertone song, this classic old black religious revival song. Of course he did. We're going to get to the story of the day because nobody has these cuts. Actually, they're going to give you a good belly laugh. Chris Cuomo, pretty boy Chris Cuomo, a.k.a. Fredo, has been fired from CNN. Yeah, they said they put him on the shelf for a month of Sundays, but he's fired. He's off in his compound in the Hamptons with Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, and they're hitting the mattresses and stirring the marinara sauce because vengeance will be theirs. Why? Because Tish James, the state attorney general, after her investigation, each day is like Julian Assange from WikiLeaks dropping, I mean, thousands and thousands of audio, of video, and papers about the examination of Team Cuomo and the mean girls who are at the beck and call of Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo. Let me give a morning salute like a rooster. Hey, Andrew, ascendeme, tu siu provienos facci. And like your father, Mario, you are. Well, let's go to the audio tape. Because doing the inquisition, the questioning, was a man I know well, former U.S. Attorney of the Southern District. Before he was that, he was a U.S. attorney prosecuting John Gotti Jr., who was being charged with the kidnap and attempted murder of yours truly, June Kim. I only wish he was as tough on John Gotti Jr., or he'd have been doing triple life without parole in Marion, where his father, remember, died and went straight to hell without an asbestos suit, John Gotti Sr. Thank God. Now, here's June Kim talking to Cuomo about a period of time when he kissed one of his femme fatale employees who were called the mean girls.
Sure question.
Do you not understand? What is your understanding of the word girlfriend?
My understanding doesn't matter.
It is a friend who is a girl.
That's how you define girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay. How about someone you date, have relations with?
Have relations?
You kiss.
Yes. Okay. It was a period of time that I kissed her.
God, it took so long to get that answer. It was torturous. Answer the freaking question. In fact, I'm surprised you and Kim didn't do what they did to me when I was being cross-examined in the Gotti trial. Mr. Sliwa, it's either a yes or a no answer, please. Yes or no. Don't give us your life story. Don't give us your entire, you know, Wikipedia profile. Then Andrew Evilize Cuomo was asked by former U.S. Attorney Joon Kim about a woman friend. Did he actually have the urge to merge with her?
Nowadays, Mr. Kim, I believe you have to be very careful about how you define what term. Girlfriend could mean this. She is a woman who was a friend who I did see romantically for a period of time.
Ah, and who was that femme fatale? That was redacted. You see, that would have been a good page six story. That would have satisfied your tabloid urges out there, listeners. The name was redacted. We want to know who that home slice was. Then there was Attorney Joon Kim asking Cuomo how he would define what a girlfriend is.
She was a friend. How do you want to define girlfriend?
Did you date her?
How do you want to define date?
How do you define date?
But it doesn't matter how I define date. How do you define date?
Wait a second, schmuck. The attorney asking you the question is Joon Kim. You notice how all of a sudden through osmosis, here's the pretentious, omnipotent one, the all-knowing one, Andrew Evilize Cuomo, reversing roles and acting like he's doing the inquisition of Attorney Joon Kim. And then the classic one. And let's be honest. This is a question that the boys should be asking of one another when they come on at 6. Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg. Because I've spent enough time with them over the years to truly believe that at one point in this ongoing love-hate relationship that they have had from the days of Don Imus and the old WFAN, that they might have, they just might have locked lips. Who knows? I don't want to tell tales, but listen to how Cuomo answered that question.
Am I absolutely sure I never kissed her on the lips? No, I'm not absolutely sure I never kissed her on the lips.
Have you kissed any men on the lips?
Not purposefully. Mm-hmm. I kissed them on the cheek often.
Okay. But not on the lips other than accidentally.
I may have kissed a man on the lips.
Who?
I don't know.
Okay. But not none that you remember.
No, but same answer. I'm not going to say I never kissed a man on the lips.
What do you mean? If you kissed a man on the lips, you would know who that was. But notice, he just was a difficult witness. And let me tell you something, it didn't do him any goodwill, that's for sure. Because every day, we're getting more and more video, more and more audio, which we're going to be playing here, that's for sure. Until, obviously, Frank Morano comes back, who is really milking the system with this paternity leave. I'm telling you, he's doing a Boutiché. He's telling the suits, the mockers, the muckety-mucks, the suits here at WABC, that it may well be, who knows, maybe when the Easter Bunny arrives, you know, for his kid, the 13-pound Carmine. Wow, he's really learned from Boutiché. But anyway, that was Andrew Evilize Cuomo. Now, I was quite upset with Frank, rightfully so. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC because he had performed a smash-and-grab robbery of my all-time black spiritual song that I played for so many years when I did overnights, the Swan Silvertones. He'll never acknowledge that. Claims that it was his discovery. That's right. Pump that volume up here a little bit. We need a little godly verse from time to time, because it sounded like Sodom and Gomorrah, some of these callers. Like the guy was talking about Plato's retreat, and how sometimes the guy stiffed him on a tip and then said, well, my old lady will service you. I think he appreciated that more than a tip. But that's Sodom and Gomorrah talk, and we're not going to stand for it here at WABC. But I have told many of you that smash and grab robberies will be coming to our area, New York City, the rest of New York, New Jersey. They're already in Connecticut. And I have a suggestion, and it involves something that many of you have, especially those of you who live in the outside areas, up there in the Mid-Hudson Valley, up in Orange County, Dutchess County, and you go upstate, parts of Connecticut, and definitely in western New Jersey and in Pennsylvania. Shotguns. Could be a Winchester, could be a Remington. Now, I've had discussions about what to do to prevent people from all of a sudden bum-rushing your store, 80, 90 strong, and going through the aisles like locusts through a cornfield without all of a sudden killing them. Because let's face it, we know that shotguns can kill. You put certain shells in there, it'll rip a hole right through you. But I'm suggesting that we use pepper balls. You ever see what a pepper ball can do? It's got the chili pepper powder. You know, it's like a paintball. And all of a sudden it hits the target and you start coughing, you get watery eyes. You're not going anywhere. And you're certainly not coming back. Or the old-fashioned rock salt in a shotgun shell. It won't break skin. It's less lethal than normal ammunition. And by the way, have any of you ever been shot with birdshot? I've been shot with birdshot. Have any of you been shot with buckshot? I haven't been shot with buckshot. What's the difference between being shot with birdshot out of a shotgun shell that's in a shotgun, a Remington or a Winchester, or buckshot? Some of you hunters out there right now, you're probably going, whoop-a-woo. Whoop-a-woo. You're in one of your blinds there in eastern Pennsylvania or central Pennsylvania. You know, you're waiting for all of a sudden the birds to pass through. You're up there in a tree waiting for the deer to come out and play. Or you put out the bear urine hoping to attract other bears. And you actually got your Winchester, your trusty Winchester, and your Remington in your shotgun rack. Would any of these remedies work? Now, I know insurance companies would be totally eclectic and would be totally opposed to it. But I'm telling you, you ever get the Winchester shells or the Stars and Stripes shells? It'll work. It scares away home intruders. And it doesn't end up really hurting them. It just leaves a cloud of salty white dust. And it'll cause them to scatter. Leave it up to Curtis Lee. I can stop the snatch and smash and grab robberies that are coming to a neighborhood near you. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Giuseppe, who's calling from Queens. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Giuseppe.
Yeah, Curtis, I want to go into the definition of a date on two fronts. One, I'll give you a personal example. One time I was doing a series of bike rides with a girl that seemed to like me as a bike rider. She's complimenting my shorts and so forth. And then I looked into it further. She was not interested in me. So was that a date, or was it just two people taking a bike ride? It wasn't a date, but I didn't know that. So that's one example. Another thing, I have been doing, you know, the movie TV extras on sets like Rescue Me, and you'd sit with a model for like 2 hours. Technically, that could be a date, or if the people actually had some interest.
Now, this is interesting, Joe. If only you had been able to hook up with your fellow Queens mate, Andrew Evilize Cuomo, who grew up in Holliswood with Chris Cuomo, right, and Mario and Matilda, you could have given him this advice, because you saw how adversarial he was to the questionnaire, June Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that didn't serve him very well, do you think, Joe?
Well, what he's reverting to is playing dumb. You know, it was like, what was that one corporation that the guy owned all that real estate, and it went, and it was fraudulent, some of the things. What was that famous company where the guy went on trial and he said he didn't know high school math? He tried to play dumb.
No. You see, you got to understand, Joe, you didn't grow up as a man of wealth, did you?
No.
Okay. So when all of a sudden you hit the lotto, right, and you're a man of wealth and you have a business and you're dumb and you're losing money hand over fist, we never say that you're dumb. We just say you're eccentric if you're wealthy. You do realize that.
Right, right. They don't get put with that label. It's the eccentric. Well, how is this supposed
to be? Joe, you sound like you're like 20,000 leagues under the sea. Let's go to Larry, who's calling from Brooklyn. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Larry?
Yeah, you know, Curtis, you know, your idea before is like the worst thing I ever heard in my life, you know. It's you want to be tough on criminals. You ran and said you want to be tough. You know, being tough on criminals and sparing their lives are two diametrically opposed goals, inconsistent. You want to spray dust shells at them? There are castle doctrines all over the city. All over the country. I think in the state of Texas and some other states, you're allowed to kill to defend your property, okay? Not only your life, but your property, okay? And you're trying to advocate the opposite. Let me ask you a question. What makes you think these thugs' lives are worth being spared?
Oh, you mean so rather than cock my Winchester shotgun with rock salt, you want it to be actual buckshot, right?
Absolutely. First of all, what's going to deter, okay, when the parents sit their little children on their knees and say, don't grow up to be a criminal, what kind of examples are they going to give? Somebody that got shot with some dustbuster or something like that? Or they're going to talk about some kid that got his head blown off because he did a smash and grab.
Now, do you really think, Larry, because remember, we have two young men who soon will be having that conversation. Frank Morano, who will have to have knee guards on for Carmine, who will probably be about 180 pounds at that point. He'll have that conversation with Carmine. And then, as you heard, Andrew Giuliani brought a beautiful girl into the world. His wife gave birth, spoke with Rudy on the air. He'll probably likewise have to have that same kind of conversation. You know, usually you don't have that conversation with girls. It's with boys. But you just want to be brutally blunt.
Blunt?
Yeah, like Faces of Death. You want to show them that documentary Faces of Death, right? You just want to let them see what it's like in the real world.
I want to also do a little population control with criminals, too.
Oh, population control, right? I can just see that. Man, he wants to put buckshot in there. Again, I'm not a cognoscente, I'm not a hunter. But what's the difference between birdshot and buckshot if I was trying to fend off the smash and grab looters in a loot out? 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Vincenzo, who's calling from Caldwell. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Vincenzo.
How you doing there, Curtis? I was working at an emporium on Broadway and 42nd Street when I was about 23 years old. I was getting $60 a night, and my job was to watch the dirty magazines so the perverts didn't run out the door with them. And one night, the Jewish owner approached me and asked me, do you want to get into the peep show booth with this girl Crystal that worked there? She worked the phones, right? And I said, okay, I'll do it, right? So we get in the booth, and we start getting it on. I'm taking my time. You know, this is, like, new to me, all of this there. And she's going crazy. She's screaming, enough to wake the dead.
Tommy, yes, this was this the old Buddy Booth, the triple X-rated parlors there in Times Square?
Yeah, this is one of those.
If any, did you feel like you were, it was the best moment of your life at that point?
23. You know, it's pretty exciting. Yeah, you know, you're pretty confident at 23 years old. And this girl screaming enough to wake the dead there when we first started.
Let me get this straight, Vincenz. You are a security officer earning $60 an hour to watch the dirty magazines so that the pervs don't just come in and do a smash and grab and steal the magazines.
Yeah, that's about it.
Now,
I wasn't really a security guard. I wear my normal clothes there.
No, I understand. I understand. But yeah. I bet you back then, what year was that, Vin?
I ain't really sure. I'm 65.
All right. So it's probably in the 70s, I think.
All right. Yeah, about there.
All right. So
we're doing it in the booth there, and she says, give it to me all the way, right? And then all of a sudden, she became real quiet from screaming erotically.
Well, I can sort of understand that. She probably realized, this guy put up or shut up. He couldn't put up, so she had to shut up, right? Anyway, you know, the biggest seller, the biggest triple X rated magazine back then in the 70s in the Duke's Times Square, triple X rated, was Big Butts Magazine. I kid you not, they used to have them from wall to wall. And pervs, like our staff here at WABC, all these guys who are salivating now, they're imagining it's theater of the mind. Yeah, they used to come in there and they used to do a smash and grab of porno magazines in the Dukes. Anyway, coming up, I don't think this is really going to work with the Frank Morano audience. I mean, we're talking, this ain't Mensa here. You know, we're talking people who graduated from East New York Night School. And they're supposed to, let me get this straight, what the rules are. I'm going to read 10 questions. And somehow, in 1 minute time, they're going to have all the answers. And Frank Morano, who's a Welcher, is going to actually put up $1,000. Are you sure it's not John Catsimatidis' money? Yeah, of course it is. All right, I'm going to give the numbers out. If you dare, but I have a feeling that a lot of you, let's face it, you can't Google, right? You can't Google your way through a minute. You're not going to know any of these answers. I mean, a two-year-old, not a two-year-old, second grader could answer these questions that I'm going to ask you. And by the way, not be brain busters. It would not deter Bernard McGurk. He'd get all 5 out of 10. That's how easy this is to do in the Ask Bernie segment of their show in the 9 o'clock hour. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC, if you dare.
It's the Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC. The Other Side of Midnight presents,
it's the $1,000 Minute. Answer 10 questions correctly in 1 minute, and you could win $1,000. Here's your host, Frank Morano.
Yeah, whose genius idea was this? Especially since we know it's not Frank's ducats. It's not his moolah shmoolah. Anyway, let's go to Jeff in Somerset. Jeff, are you prepared?
I'm going to give it a shot, Curtis. Welcome back. And if I would have lived in New York, I would have voted for you.
All right. So now remember, if you can't get all 10, but you get some, you're going to get some tchotchkes. You know, it's like when you used to eat Cracker Jack and you just used to wish that something was in the bottom of the box.
I'd rather have the grand, to tell you the truth.
Exactly. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We ready for the clock?
Ready.
All right, go for it. What is the only state that borders just one other state?
The only state that borders just one other state. Boy.
Typical Frank Morano.
Not my best.
Okay, we'll give you a pass on that. How many lights are there on a menorah?
9.
Which New York Post Page 6 writer can be heard here on Sundays from 1 to 2?
Sundays from 1 to 2. Not sure.
Yeah, well, you see, you are a Frank Morano listener. There's no doubt you're earning that. In what year were the first Air Jordan sneakers released?
1982.
Oh, close. 1984. How many signs are there in the zodiac?
12.
Good. Boy, you're starting to get some speed here. What book starts with the line, call me Ishmael?
call me Ishmael.
Yeah, it's a Quran, right?
That's it.
No, it's Moby Dick. That's it. Hey, look, you gave it a good try, Jeff. You proved to me that the WABC listeners to Frank Morano and the Other Side of Midnight are definitely special ed. There's no doubt about it. So I'm not even going to give him a GED, a WABC Frank Morano GED. Not even close. Although I did give him some coaching and guidance there, right? All right, now, this is the big story of the day. You know, look, I want you listening morning, noon, and night to WABC, even when you're stung out. And if you miss any of the great shows, you can get them on podcast at WABCradio.com. But this is information about my former opponent in the mayoral election, Eric Adams, the mayor-elect, who has now gone to Ghana to discover his roots. Because as an African-American, he has traced his roots back to the motherland, Africa, like former President Barack Obama did. So he's basically going to go on that tour before he gets sworn into office when the ball drops at One Times Square and welcomes in the new year. But there is one area that is really troubling me, and that is how he is going to reposition the police department. As you know, he has said early on in the process, in fact, he said it in the primary before he even faced me in the general election, that in picking a police commissioner, there are two prerequisites. She will be a female and she will be an African-American. So apparently it's come down to three candidates. All of them are out of town. And so he is not going to be picking from within the ranks of the NYPD or what I call the white shirts who have immunity. He's going to interview, and apparently he's going to do it by Zoom in the time that he's in Ghana and other parts of Africa. Police Commissioner Outlaw in Philadelphia, what a mistake that would be. She is overseeing a department that just saw the largest number of homicides in the history of Philadelphia, 500. And she came from Portland, Oregon. I mean, we're not talking stellar, a stellar resume here. The other one is the former police commissioner in Seattle, Bess, an African-American woman best known for giving up a precinct at the time of Chop Chop. Remember? Chop on the block. They took over seven blocks, Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and wouldn't give it back. And she quit. And then there's Yvonne Roman, originally the police chief in Newark. I think she went to Columbus, Ohio. I mean, if you were stuck with having to pick any of the three, I would go with Yvonne Roman. Only because she would probably be a lot more aware what's going on in New York City because of its proximity to Newark. But this is where the problems really lie. Eric Adams is not going to let a brand new police commissioner from outside of the department run the department. That will be sort of a facade. That will be sort of more the public relations part of it. He truly wants to be the police commissioner himself. Rudy Giuliani did that. Remember, he had Bratton that he appointed. His team brought in Comstat, but it was really Rudy that was calling the shots. So I truly believe former police officer, captain in the department before he retired, Eric Adams, he really wants to call the shots in the police department. But the guy he is going to put in charge by creating a new position, deputy mayor of public safety. We used to have it when David Dinkins was the mayor. It was the judge. His name escapes me. But how successful was that? When David Dinkins was mayor, we were averaging 2,000 murders a year, 5,000 shootings, most of them unresolved. Thank God people came to their senses and elected Rudy Giuliani, who gave this city a badly needed colonic and turned the most crime-ravaged city, the murder capital of America, New York City, into the safest large city in America. Well, he wants to put in as his deputy mayor, Phil Banks. Phil Banks was the number two guy in 2013. He was the chief of the department under Bratton. His predecessor, I think, was Joe Esposito when Giuliani was mayor. And then James O'Neill followed him, who eventually became the police commissioner who replaced Bratton. 28 years, and then suddenly he resigned. And before he resigned, he was the choice In fact, he was the number one choice of Charlene McRae, wife of Bill de Blasio, to become his police commissioner. She did not want Bill Bratton. Bill de Blasio, to his credit, decided, I need an insurance policy. By saying that I'm going to choose Bill Bratton, people will think that I'm not soft on law and order. Well, he was anyway. The problem with Phil Banks is he insists that he will be his deputy mayor of public safety, which means he'll be running the police department. He was investigated by the FBI, which used to stand for Forever Busting Italians and then Forever Busting Islamics. But this investigation was of Phil Banks, chief of the department, number two cop in the NYPD, for having $300,000 of unexplained cash in his bank account. Now, imagine, the FBI said, hey, Phil, have a seat. How did you get this $300,000 in your bank account? I don't know how it got there. Come on. Inquiring minds want to know. So he became an unindicted co-conspirator in the rackets trial against Jonah Reichnich and Jeremy Reichman, who both were big-time extorters of money on behalf of comrade Bill de Blasio. Should have sent Bill de Blasio to jail. One of these contributors snitched on the other guy, and they were trading gifts and cash and trips for favors to police officers, the white shirts, who always have immunity. They were taking him to Las Vegas, and they had a stewardess who was on the way to Las Vegas, servicing them. You can sort of, this is theater of the mind, you can figure out what that was. And when all of this was said and done, Phil Banks ended up being a unindicted co-conspirator, which to me is the language that he became a confidential informant. That's the reason that he probably avoided being indicted. This is the guy you're going to make the deputy mayor in charge of public safety, Eric Adams? And he insists it doesn't matter what his record is. He was never indicted. And then adding insult to injury. Another guy I know, the chief of community affairs, Jeffrey Madre, used to be the commander of the 73rd Precinct in Brownsville, used to be the commander of Brooklyn North. Very personable guy, very charismatic, very persuasive. But boy, he has been a hot mess in his life as a police officer in the NYPD, accused of being a skirt chaser of female cops. In fact, this one black female police officer, Tabitha Foster, sued the department for millions and millions of dollars, saying he was a lech. And get this, Tabitha Foster was in a park, right there in Ozone Park, Tudor Park, and police were summoned, uniformed police. There was a 911 call, and they came upon a scene in which Tabitha Foster, off duty, had a gun to Chief Jeffrey Madre's head, a gun to his head. And the police thought there was a crime taking place, you know, a crime of passion or a domestic dispute. So the Chief Jeffrey Madre said, no, I got it. And all of a sudden, that went away. Well, the guy was found, lost 45 days of vacation time. But I got to tell you something. Man, this guy's a hot mess. And now he's embroiled in a controversy that has just surfaced. That at the 73rd Precinct, where he used to be the commander, a former police officer and friend of his, a guy named Foster, who had a real estate shop in Brownsville with security camera, started chasing 12 and 13 and 14-year-old kids who had been playing basketball, had thrown the basketball against the security camera outside of his real estate office, broke it, and then he pulled out his gun and supposedly was running after them. They cuffed him, took him to the 73rd Precinct, and who shows up? Chief Jeffrey Madre, and says, turn him loose. That's being investigated now. Now, Eric Adams, I lost you fair and square. I said I'm going to support you because we got to save this city. And anybody's better than comrade Bill de Blasio, who single-handedly has destroyed the city that we love. But please, before you come back from Ghana, and I know some of your assistants and apparatchiks, you're listening to me because you want to make sure, hey, he's not casting aspersions against you. You got to go in a different direction. You first, you got to find a police commissioner from within the ranks. Don't go to Outlaw in Philadelphia. First off, why would you want a police commissioner with a name called Outlaw? Best from Seattle or Yvonne Roman from Newark. And please don't make Phil Banks the deputy mayor in charge of public safety, because you're asking for double trouble. And even though Chief Jeffrey Madre is a nice guy, very personable, very charismatic, he's a hot mess with everything he's done personally. And boy, you're not going to be able to reform a police department if you're bringing into the ranks of the police department guys who are going to make it difficult, absolutely difficult, for you to put in place a strategy to take back this city from the thugs, the criminals, and the gangbangers, the Uzi-toting, dope-sucking, psychopathic killing machines. Do not put into place those who have benefited from white shirt immunity.
The Other Side of Midnight. This is 15 Seconds of Fame.
It's a double oofah to Frank Morano, because I would have given you more time. But that being what it is, let's first go to Victor, who's calling from Manhattan. Your turn to join the ranks of the infamous, Victor.
Yeah, for Joe Biden's 79th birthday, Dr. Jill gave him a pound of liverwurst, knockwurst, and bratwurst, and he turned to her and says, "Is that all I get?" And she says, "Hell no, the worst is yet to come."
Oh, that was excellent. You fit it right in that coffin box of 15 seconds. Let's go to Mark in Westchester. Your turn to join the infamous.
Yes, sir, Curtis. It's Mark, former Guardian Angel. I cannot believe you did not win the mayoral election. New York City is going to pay the price for not...
There was no technology involved. Eric Adams won fair and square. Your turn to join the ranks of the infamous, Mike in Staten Island.
Curtis, you're the best. Wish you were my mayor. See you on July 4th. Hey, John and Joe, when in Woodside, Dino and Son. I recommend the Mike special.
Very good. Right within that box, that 15-second box. Let's go to Raj in Manhattan. 15 Jane. Seconds of fame for you, Raj.
On the station. And Sid, you're reflecting very badly on this station. Bankrupting parents by encouraging and promoting gambling to our innocent children, especially with malicious subtle hints that betting on FanDuel will enrich bettors. Thank you.
Hit the marks. 15 seconds. Let's see if you likewise can make it double that, Rick, in Staten Island at the ferry. Rick, you're leaving me hanging here, Rick.
This is Curtis. This is Vic at the ferry.
Go ahead.
I want to make a complaint about the Southern State Parkway on Sunday night being shut down totally with no detour in place. It was a total disaster.
Well, thanks for giving me that heads up, a member of our Department of Transportation. Let's go to the phone. Stacy, you have 15 seconds to join the infamous.
Sure, Curtis. How you doing? I once met you on Metropolitan Avenue last year, and you are the best. I want to comment on the casino at Aqueduct. Half of their machines don't work right, and somebody told me they make the most money.
That is true. They do more than any of the other regular casinos that dot both the Indian reservation casinos and the New York State casinos. They make more money. Well, you got to blame the Malaysians for that, because they own it. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Your 15 seconds of fame awaits you, Rollo, in Jersey.
Ooh, Curtis Lewa, you're such a clown.
Wow. Sounded like what Eric Adams was calling me during the campaign, right? He called me a buffoon, a clown, a racist, a liar. And then afterwards said, hey, I didn't really mean that. We've been friends for 40 years. I didn't forget that. Boy, this guy really truncated his response. He had 15 seconds, and he only used three. What a gabon. 1-800-848-9222. Your 15 seconds of fame awaits you at 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Pete in the West Village. Your turn to be heard here, Pete.
Hey, Curtis, I just want to say hello to Joe Bono, who played Guido in Raging Bull.
Thanks for the olive oil. And Sid's a moron, Sid's a moron, Sid's a moron.
Let me ask you, is that second press Bertolli virgin olive oil? Second press. Very important that it be second press. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. Jeff in Queens, you have your chance to join the infamous with 15 seconds.
Yo, Curtis, people made fun of you for putting those cats in your apartment, 70 cats. You saved 17 lives, and you did it because you tried to do it. You ran on a no-kill shelter platform. Why? How dare they make fun of you for doing it? That's why you know, 17 cats is a lot for an apartment, but you saved 17 lives.
Excellent. Excellent. I chewed my shorts, pulled my chain, but I'll take that compliment. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. You got 15 seconds in order to join the infamous. We'll give our phone screen an opportunity, the deadbeat and slacker that he is, to be able to catch up with the horde of callers, the horde of Moranoites that are calling here to get their 15 seconds of fame. Let's quickly go in the meantime to Anthony, who's calling from Forest Hills. Welcome to WABC, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing, Curtis?
Wait a second.
Can you hear me?
You asking me, how am I doing? You know what the rules and regulations are, right? Because I'm going to say, well, how am I doing? I've had better days.
Well, you wanted to know what the difference is between Double O Buck and Birdshot. So I was going to tell you, Double O Buck has only 9 pellets in a shell versus like Birdshot, which can have up to 200 pellets.
Now, let me ask you a question, Anthony. If all of a sudden you were attempting a home invasion of my 328-square-foot studio apartment with the 17 cats and my wife, Nancy, would you rather that Nancy shoot you with her Winchester? Actually, she has a shotgun in Pennsylvania. With Buckshot or Birdshot?
At short range, it won't make a difference because at short range, that little bird shot will act just like a slug. It's not going to spread out. It's not going to spray you. It's going to go right through you just like a regular bullet.
Thank you. Thank you for that information. Hey, you snatch and grab gangs out there know that if I have my way, I would take that shotgun. I would click it. Man, I'd fill you up with rock salt. Rock salt and no shells. Fire it in the air first, and then fire it at your dupa and tukas, and you'll be running away. Let's go to Joseph in Manhattan seeking his 15 seconds of fame. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Joe.
This once great nation continues, highly skilled and financially self-supporting Eastern Europeans, including Poles, are giving up hope after years of waiting for visas, are instead heading for Australia and New Zealand.
Wow. Australia and the Daily Double New Zealand, which is two different islands together. Let's go to Tommy in Long Island for your 15 seconds of infamy.
Curtis, I met you on the subway 30 years ago when I was a transit cop. You did a great job out there. Thank you so much. Then I met you again at Madison Square Garden about the police department. You were so right about the upper echelon. They got to be leading by example. I don't know how they're going to enforce the cops when they themselves have been against the law so many times.
That's right, Tommy. No more white shirt immunity. That means double trouble in the NYPD when you immunize them. Let's go to John in Long Island. Your 15 seconds of fame awaits you, Johnny.
Hey, brother, you're the man, Curtis. And I just want to say, if this is global warming, why do we have to knock down a tree every year and go watch it like we've never seen a tree before? It doesn't make sense. Everybody's killing the trees. What are we doing?
And by the way, John, you had your 15 seconds. See if you can even get anywhere near the tree when they light it up tonight. Not going to happen. But people will schlep down there. Probably nobody from the five boroughs. It's usually the out-of-towners. Anyway, Ralph, your 15 seconds of fame awaits you in New Jersey.
Now that Joseph Biden has put the travel ban in Africa in place, I want him to go all the way and boycott the China Olympics because the world wants to know if he had what it takes to take it to China and to stand up to China.
Mm. I don't know. I couldn't understand not a damn thing he was saying. Typical Frank Morano listener. Let's go to Stan in Brooklyn. You get 15 seconds of infamy here, Stan.
Got it. Eric Adams wants to change the name of streets from, say, Stuyvesant or anything to anything else. Do you realize the number of people have to change all their documents, their licenses, their insurance, the post office, anything imaginable, the amount of paperwork that he'll generate if you take Nostrand Avenue?
Oh, but that's what government loves, bureaucracy, paperwork, paperwork. More paperwork means more patronage, means more cost to us, the sucker taxpayers. Anyway, let's go to Charlie in Hell's Kitchen. Your 15 seconds of infamy awaits you, Charlie.
Sid Rosenberg is not a moron. Repeat, Sid Rosenberg is not a moron. That caller who calls in and says he's a moron, he's the moron. Sid Rosenberg is a very talented broadcaster. He's a flawed human being, as are we all. Sid Rosenberg is not a moron.
Well, excellent. 15 seconds in defense of Sid Rosenberg, who will be joining you at 6 o'clock with Bernard McGurk this morning. And then I believe he's going up in the bucket, the Hanukkah bucket, with John Catsimatidis on Thursday. I think where General Sherman is, right outside of the Plaza Hotel, which is the largest Hanukkah menorah, I believe, in North America. And he's going to light it. He's a brave guy. Anyway, let's go to Roger in Massachusetts. Your 15 seconds of fame awaits you, Roger.
Yeah, Andrew Cuomo sounded a lot like Bill Clinton with his, depends what the word is means, number one. And number two, yeah, your idea about the shotgun with rock salt would be great. That'd be great for any kind of crowd control.
There's no doubt about it. It was used years and years ago. Nobody gets killed. Nobody gets seriously injured. But insurance companies would just totally flip their script and just would not permit that kind of deterrent to these smash-and-grab gangs. Remember, first shot is in the air. First shot in the air. And then all of a sudden, if all of a sudden they continue to come in like an unstoppable horde into your nearby Nordstrom's as they go through like locusts through the cornfield, then you aim and you fire the rock salt at them. Anyway, let's go to Anthony in Astoria. Your 15 seconds of infamy awaits you, Anthony.
Curtis, I like the way you got along with Christopher Hahn. You think you'll ever have another show? You could call it Curtis and Chris. How does that sound?
You know what I think I'm going to do to make peace, to offer an olive leaf out there, is to suggest that we swap out Chris Hahn and have Chris Cuomo next to me. You know, I actually did a show with Chris Cuomo.
Sounds good, too.
For 2 months here at WABC when he had no opinion, when he said, I'm a journalist, Curtis. I'm not permitted to have an opinion. Whoa, have times changed. He has become one of the most opinionated TV talkers in America who is now on the shelf. They say he's temporarily on the shelf. He's going to be unemployed. But I have a feeling he's fired. Fired. But we'll have some more fun with this in the overnight tonight as Frank Morano continues to be on paternity leave. And right now I'm ready to hand over the 50,000-pound for watts of sound to Jet Set Juliet, who will give you the hour of news before the boys return.